Blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. This is WWE Superstar The Miz,
the greatest man that ever lived, always likes a good rant, and you're listening to the greatest rant.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world.
How you know?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. And to the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Run.
With your host...
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Yeah, kitty, kitty.
You forgot to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
My boobs are real.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. Good people like me. All you have to do is believe!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Wrap right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I am here. We are live across the airwaves at Wild Talk Radio, and we have a lot to get into tonight. You can join us in our interactive chat room at Wild Talk Radio at RackRadioShow.com. You can tweet the show at Wild Talk Radio or at RackRadioShow, or you can actually tweet Lindsay at LindsayWard. And if your comments are relative to what we are talking about on the air, we may read them on during the show.
May. The Twitter machine is right here next to me, charging. No, yes. Not charging. I left the headphones plugged in. But the Twitter machine is right here, a.k.a. my phone. So if it is relevant and if it pops and if I see it amongst the Tumblr alerts, then I will definitely make sure to read it on the air. So we have a lot to get into tonight. This is going to be a long one, boys and girls. We have SummerSlam. We have NXT TakeOver. We have NXT. And we have news. And of course, Tweet of the Week.
And Tough Enough.
Yes. There were a lot of finales. There were a lot of exciting things that happened this past week in the world of wrestling. All of them WWE, pretty much. So we're going to jump right into it. We're going to start with the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.net. The haven for TNA fans. And I'm not sure which is the biggest story of the week, because they're kind of all tied, so we're going to save the one I actually want to talk about.
No, I have the big story of the week.
What's the big story of the week?
The Colossal Showdown coming this October.
Oh?
In one corner, you have the Conqueror, the Beast, Brock Lesnar.
Oh, no.
And on the other side, the Bo Leaver.
Say it with a straight face. No. Dude, just admit it. Bo's going to die, okay?
Yeah.
Somebody hates him to the point that he's just going to die.
Yeah. It is being reported that at the upcoming WWE live event in Madison Square Garden, only on the WWE Network, it will be Bo Dallas versus Brock Lesnar based on what happened on Monday Night Raw. I'm looking forward to it.
What's the contest going to be? How far Brock can throw Bo in a single suplex?
All right. If what happened to Kofi Kingston was in any indication how much fun it's going to be seeing someone get destroyed, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Bo is going to die, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not okay with this. I mean, he threw him like 3 feet and he bounced.
He did.
He essentially threw him over his head like a shot put and skipped him across the ring.
Mm-hmm.
That's how hard Brock threw him. Yeah. Bo is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Bo. I feel so bad for him.
I feel bad for him, but it's going to be so much fun to watch though.
It's going to be entertaining as all hell, but by the way, has anybody checked on him? Does anybody know if he's okay? Has he tweeted anything this week?
That's a good question. That really is a good question. Has he tweeted in the last week? Huh.
Let's see. Bo Dallas. Well, he updated his Twitter picture.
Hey. But I think that was before he got killed.
He retweeted something on the 20th.
Bo Dallas is not... we do not have a pulse for Bo Dallas. If anyone has contact with Bo Dallas, please make sure he has a pulse.
Yes. Yes, we need to make sure he's okay. I mean, obviously they're booking him and stuff. So, you know, he's alive, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know if he's going to be okay. We don't know.
Yeah. But that whole ties into what's coming up on the WWE Network in the coming, in the fall season, which we're going to get the Stone Cold podcast with Edge and Christian.
That'll be entertaining.
We are getting the behind the scenes at NXT show, the version of Hard Knocks.
I kind of can't wait for that.
That should be cool. More episodes of Swerve, I believe.
Yeah.
Like I said, the WWE Live from Madison Square Garden featuring Brock Lesnar on Saturday, October 3rd.
In which Bo Dallas is going to die.
Rest in peace, Bo Dallas. Hashtag blame Rob. Or hashtag blame Brock, whatever you want to choose.
This is a blame Brock. I don't think Rob has anything to do with this.
Hey, we can always blame him. And then we've been told there are two NXT takeovers coming our way.
Yeah.
The first will be in October, I believe it's the 7th, 8th, or something like that.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
The first,
it's in the beginning of October.
October 7th. I had to double-check the date. October 7th will be the NXT takeover that I believe it's at Full Sail University, so they're back in Florida for that one, so they can rejoice. But the other one will be in London.
That's going to be huge, and that's going to be insane.
I believe that's the last day of the tour, or one of the last few days of that tour, and they'll be doing it live.
Live. That should be interesting.
Wow, it's on a Wednesday. Huh. That's even more interesting. I thought it was on a Saturday. Huh. Well, it's on Wednesday. Huh. That makes it a lot more intriguing. Huh. Alright. This is what happens when you don't read it says Wednesday, or don't know the dates of the calendar. Okay, then.
Did you just admit you don't know the dates of a calendar?
No, I didn't know where things fell on specific days. Did you? What?
Eric!
Did Eric Rowan tweet something?
Eric Rowan tweeted something. Oh god, he's lost.
Okay, we'll get into that here in a bit. But yeah, it's cool. Two takeover specials have been announced. The UK one should be really, really spectacular. I'm really curious to see what they have planned for it.
Yeah, they should be a super, super, super raucous crowd. Like, picture Brooklyn. Now double that. That'll be what the London crowd is for NXT. And it's going to be insane. I can't wait for it.
And like we said at the top of the show, we'll be breaking down NXT TakeOver in our final segment of the evening. So stay tuned for all of that.
Yeah, we're going to be talking NXT and we're going to be talking TakeOver because it's just easier to do them both at the
same time. Yeah.
And we have a special guest for it.
We
so
do have a special, yeah, we have a special guest lined up for y'all for that, so don't worry.
So keep your ears tuned for who might show up.
Yes.
But speaking of making triumphant returns, because I don't know if Bo's return would be triumphant or not.
That he's living, yeah, it would be.
Yeah, yeah, poor Bo.
Poor Bo.
On Monday night, big things happened.
They did.
Epic things happened.
They did.
And well, somebody had to get a table because seems TNA's authority figure is all better.
The law.
And the law is all better, and he's back in camo, ladies and gentlemen, because Monday night saw the return of one of the greatest tag teams in WWE history and ECW history, the Dudley Boys.
It's not.
That's right.
It's not.
The boys are back together.
It's not Team 38. Oh, no.
No,
this is legit. They are the Dudley Boys, and they're back in WWE, and it's full time, too. They're back, and it's, from what I hear, it's multi-year.
Yeah, it looks like they're going for one last run, one last payday, and then I think that's probably going to be it for both of them.
Which is great for them, because we all wanted to have them see one last run.
Well, it's kind of they split off, and they unceremoniously left the last time, and they kind of went out with a whimper.
They did.
And Bubba's been making a lot of improvements to himself, mm-hmm. and he's a lot stronger than what he was when they had their initial run in WWE, and D-Von has improved in well as well.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how they mix in the new environment, how they work with different teams, because as we know, they're doing the Dusty Rhodes tag team tournament down in NXT, so we'll have to see if the Dudleys get involved with that, but they are definitely a welcome addition to the tag team division.
Oh yeah, and I love that they're starting a hashtag, or the New Day, and give tables a chance. I saw that tonight on SmackDown, that made me laugh.
I did not understand the booty sign, but I'm on board for it.
Well, Big E's all about the booty. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, yeah. But
we have sound clip. We'll talk about it later.
But yeah, so New Day does not like the Dudley Boys because, well, the Dudley Boys put Xavier Woods through a table, which he later on went to say that, you know, he walked out playing a trombone, New York, New York, with his two best buds, and then he got put through a table by the Dudley Boys. Best night ever for him.
Pretty good night.
Yeah, that's a pretty good night. So he was pretty happy. I think everybody's happy to see the Dudleys, so we'll have to see how they make their mark this go-round in WWE. And in another triumphant return and other big news that broke on SmackDown, we will see World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins taking on Sting.
Were you trying to figure out which name to call him, the Vigilante or Icon?
I was kind of pausing for dramatic effect.
I know, but they're still undecided which name to call him. Is he the Vigilante or is he the Icon?
He cannot take the last outlaw that's taken.
Right? But no, Sting is back and Sting is going to be fighting for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I like the match. I think it's going to be an actual good match.
I like the match. I'm not sure I'm okay with it being for the title. Like, I get Rollins is champion. Rollins has to defend, but I'd rather see them build Sting up to going for the title than just handing him a title shot.
And this will be a debate we'll have in about 3 or 4 weeks from now, who goes over in this match. But when you look at it, I don't know. It doesn't matter. If Sting has got to win this one going forward, don't you think? Because he hasn't won in WWE yet.
I would say he wins, but it's probably not going to be a clean win.
Probably not.
Because they're not going to put a title on him.
Never say never.
Never say never, but, you know, honestly, I think they could save that moment for another time.
Oh, they could.
Another pay-per-view.
Oh, they really could, but we'll see. But yeah, it's cool. Sting's back. It was a nice surprise on Monday Night Raw. If you didn't hear the post-show, we talked all about it. Yeah, it's cool. Sting's back. Hooray.
And speaking of surprises,
mm-hmm.
Oh boy, did Bray Wyatt give us a surprise.
All right, I'm just going to sit back and just, you're going to go.
Okay, well, first of all, called it.
Go back and listen to an older edition of The Rack.
From about a month ago, we were throwing out names of who could possibly be the fourth Wyatt. We threw out Braun Strowman. He was perfect. Fit right in. Lo and behold, who shows up Monday night? Braun Strowman. For those of you who are not aware of who Braun Strowman is, he's an NXT performer. He's been with the company about 2 years, training for a year, wrestling for a year. His biggest claim to fame is being Gladiator Guy in Adam Rose's original Rosebuds.
And by the way, it's Strowman now.
Yeah. They changed the name, so he went from Strowman to Strowman.
Don't ask me why.
I think Bray said it wrong and they just went with it. That's my personal opinion.
Okay.
It's like, whatever he said, go with it.
Go with it.
Go with it. So, there's been a lot of speculation about this in terms of Eric Rowan and what's that going to do for Eric Rowan. It should probably be noted that Eric Rowan is not going to be back potentially before Rumble. He had to have surgery due to a bicep tear that puts you out about 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
Depending on your recovery. And he's only about a month or 2 months into his recovery right now. So, while the idea of Eric coming back and teaming with Roman and Dean is a cool one, it's more than likely not going to happen because Rowan is not well. Okay. Unless they're kayfabing everyone, which they could be. Who knows?
By the way, kayfabe is a legit word now.
Is it?
Yeah, it made the Oxford Dictionary.
Hi.
It was announced that it is now a new word. It made the Oxford Dictionary.
We're moving up in the world. Holla. But yeah, so Strowman, a very, very interesting mix to the Wyatt family, a huge mix or huge addition to the Wyatt family. He's 6'8", 385, just a mass of humanity.
He is a mass of humanity. That's the best way to describe him. He is huge. He is really, really huge, and he makes Bray Wyatt small.
He makes Luke Harper small.
He makes Luke Harper small, and I was going to make the joke I made before, and I got yelled at when I made the joke the first time, so I'm not going to make
Don't do it.
I'm not going to make the joke.
Don't do it.
I just said I'm not going to make the joke.
I know where you live.
I know you do.
I'm slowly but surely finding out where everybody on this network lives.
Anyway, point being, he's a big, big man, and he makes the other guys look small, and that just makes him that more impressive. And when you look at Eric Rowan, he's 6'8". Strowman is 6'8". But it's the mass, it's the size on the dude that just makes him a presence in the ring. Can he wrestle? We'll have to find out, but he doesn't need to wrestle right now. He just needs to beat people up. And he's doing a damn good job at it.
He's doing great at beating up Roman and Dean. I love whatever his hold is to suffocate slash make someone pass out. It works perfectly for him. You know, I like that they're selling him as this giant monster that, you know, even Roman can't overtake, and he keeps getting the best of Roman and Dean. You know, it's basically Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper don't have to do anything. They just send Strowman in there and he just takes care of everybody. So I like that they're doing that right. It's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds because, well, there are rumors pertaining to the Wyatts, including one that WWE is considering making Abigail an actual person and having her manage the Wyatt family, which would be an interesting thing, and it seems there might be some substance to it because, you know, while stupid, Bray went from talking about Abigail in the past tense to the present tense tonight.
He did.
Where basically she has had Strowman, she has been guiding Strowman, guiding...
In quotations.
And she has given him to Bray and told Bray all about him. So Bray and Abigail are living separately. Not sure what's going on there, but kind of an interesting thing. I'm not sure if I want them to have a physical Abigail. I kind of like that she's this mysterious presence that's pulling the strings from afar.
Yeah, I think... Like, it would be cool to have an Abigail, but at the same time, it ruins the mystique. And for right now, I'd rather have the mystique than a physical presence. Not to say that, because it's WWE and there's a good chance they could, you know, screw it up.
If you're going to have her show up very infrequently. She doesn't need to be there all the time because, to a certain extent, it does hurt Bray. Not that having a female-led stable, especially a female-led Wyatt stable, wouldn't be completely awesome, but it's who's the actual leader? Is it Bray or is it Abigail? It's just like this go-around with the Wyatt family. You actually have Luke doing more of the sermons.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
Prodigal son has learned.
The prodigal son has learned.
Uh-huh.
And that could lead to a very interesting split because if you do Abigail, if you make her a physical person, Strowman was with her. So realistically, if, you know, she wanted to, she could turn Strowman against Bray, and suddenly Bray's got a really massive problem on his hands.
He would then have a massive problem on his hands, yeah.
So... It has possibilities. I'm just not sure I want to see it. Because it's like, it could be really, really cool, or it could be really, really stupid, and we all know this is WWE, so it's probably going to be stupid. It's probably not going to work.
But we'll see.
But we will see. And speaking of seeing, we're not going to see Wade Barrett for a while.
No, we won't. He's apparently off the film at WWE film Eliminators this September. So that's why he was written off of TV on Monday Night Raw to go film his movie, which we've talked about before, and we thought it was going to happen back in May. But I guess they delayed it, and it's now coming up from the film.
Yeah, so best of luck to him. He did... go home for a little bit, and what's interesting is he changed his Twitter name from King Wade Barrett to Stu Bennett.
That might have something to just do with the film.
Yeah, that probably has a lot to do with the film.
Probably
going
by his real name or something, credits or whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
I noticed that TJ Wilson is now TJ Wilson, not Tyson Kidd on the Twitter. So maybe wrestlers are just going to go by their real names a little bit. Who knows?
Maybe. We'll have to see.
But staying on WWE films, they acquired a new film, didn't they?
They did acquire a new film. They're going to adapt Kevin Lowry's basketball documentary into a feature film.
The documentary is called Long Shot. The Kevin,
I'm going with Lowry. Lowry. Sorry if I said it wrong.
The story to a feature film. Finally, a young man who defied all odds to become the first player missing a limb to play NCAA Division I basketball. So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
So they did, we'll be heading into worldwide rights and we'll leverage WWE's extensive platforms, including weekly TV shows, digital and social media, and WWE Network to market the title. So there you go.
I like that they're doing a non-wrestling, non-cop movie.
Yeah, I like that they're acquiring films now. They've gotten to that stage where they're not always just going with Lionsgate and making their own. They're starting to acquire films. Like, they acquired Sean's film that he's in, and they're acquiring this film.
Which means there will be a talent in it, but it's good that they're acquiring films because,
it makes them more of a legitimate studio.
Makes them more of a legitimate studio, but also they kind of get away from the same old, same old. They seem to have a really bad habit of making kind of the same movie over and over and over again.
That they do.
So acquiring films sort of gets them out of that rut, which is a good thing.
Yes, yes it is.
But speaking of good things.
Okay.
We have to talk WWE 2K16.
Yeah, more names have been announced.
I mean, I know you've been busy with Madden.
I have been busy with Madden. Madden is a great game, everybody. Go get it. It's awesome. But we're here to talk about WWE 2K16, and they've announced a few new participants, including Alicia Fox.
Hi.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Hi.
The Big Show.
Yay.
Cameron.
Yay.
Cesaro, who I saw his entrance for, which was pretty awesome. Him and Tyson Kidd. Tyson Kidd's in the game.
We can do the swing, baby.
They do the swing with the dropkick. They have that in the game.
Oh, nice.
Darren Young is in the game.
All right.
Diamond Dallas Page is in the video game.
It's me. It's me. It's DDP.
Former guest of the rack. Dolph Ziggler's in the game.
Of course.
Finlay.
Okay. Yay. Wait, which Finlay?
Old school Finlay.
Sweet.
With mullet and all, according to the picture. Kevin Nash.
Can he tear a quad in a video game? I'm not sure.
He's been in a few video games. He has not torn a quad yet.
Well, how realistic is this going
to
be?
We'll have to see. Layla is making probably her final video game.
Oh.
Well, you never know, but she's in it.
Yeah. At least she's in it.
Lex Luger is making the video game, which is different.
Interesting.
The Miz.
Not surprised.
Naomi.
Yay.
The Viper, Randy Orton.
Of course.
Sheamus and his dangly bits.
Really? They're putting the dangly bits in the game?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's his current look.
Why?
Titus O'Neil's in the video game.
Yay.
And they did not announce them in the video game, but when they showed Cesaro and Kid's entrance, they also showed the entrance for the Vault Villains.
Yes!
So the Vault Villains are in the video game.
That makes me so happy.
The Vault Villains entrance is pretty sweet.
I may have to buy the game just for the Vault Villains. May have to buy it. And the system.
And the system and all that fun stuff. Yeah, the video games, the roster's turning out pretty cool.
And we should also now announce that Paul Heyman, bless him, on the Heyman Hustle, unofficially announced, because it wasn't released by WWE 2K, but Paul Heyman announced that Brock Lesnar will be in 2K16.
Yeah, I think we announced it last week, didn't we?
I don't remember last week. I've drank since then.
Yeah, I believe he's in. Yeah, they announced him last week. And we're up to 56 people so far.
Out of 120?
Yeah.
And Bray and Taker have still not been announced.
Yeah. We've announced 56 people. There were 60 people last year.
Yeah, but they're doubling that.
I know, I'm just saying. This is where we're at so far, and we haven't even scratched the surface. Pretty cool.
It's pretty epic, and it sounds like they're going to have a huge NXT roster, which it's like, hey!
Right? So there you go on that. But now it's time to get into Tough Enough. The final time we talk Tough Enough on this show, because it's maybe the final Tough Enough ever.
Yay! This makes me so happy.
And the main gist of what we're going to talk about this evening is what happened on the live show. They all had matches.
They all had gear.
They all had gear, or what you consider gear.
Somebody was running around in their underwear. Not going to name any names, but they had furry dangly bits.
His name is Josh.
Somebody else had a gator cape.
That was ZZ. Or the king of the bayou.
Yeah, king of the bayou, ZZ.
Yeah, we had Sarah Lee as Hope.
Farmer's daughter gimmick.
And we had Mandy, aka Amanda. I forget what they also, Mandy something or other. Can't remember what they called her last name. But, so you had all four and they all had matches. Alicia Fox versus Amanda was...
Oh my god, it was horrific.
That's a good way to put it.
I mean, I've seen a lot of bad matches. That was a bad match. Those two did not mix right, and honestly, Fox was out for blood in these. Like, she was looking to knock them around.
The side slam was just awful.
Yeah, I still can't figure out who the side slam is on, but basically Amanda got picked up, Alicia went for the side slam, and dropped Amanda on her shoulder and her neck.
Yeah.
And so Amanda's very, very lucky. She's not seriously injured from that.
Yeah.
Because Fox dropped her hard.
Yeah. And you had Cesaro versus... Sara Lee versus Mandy Rose. Thank you, Acer. Sara Lee versus Alicia Fox was better. Sara actually sold a little bit. Amanda did not do any selling. She must have slept in that day, not learned how to sell.
She did a little, but it wasn't anything spectacular. It was just kind of like, oh, I'm hurt. Oh no, what will I do? Ow.
Right.
Aren't I pretty?
Right. And then you had ZZ versus Cesaro, which was interesting for many different reasons. The fact that he was able to spin ZZ was quite impressive.
Yeah, yeah. We want to see Cesaro spin the new Wyatt now.
Yeah, we really, really do, because that was kind of epic. But the match itself was fine. They limited ZZ to what he did, and he screwed up. I think he was late for one thing, but the rest he did really, really good for what he was asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Cesaro versus Josh was interesting, to say the least. To their credit, there was their first matches ever on live TV, and they were rookies on live TV. It's 2-minute matches. In the end, the judges... I should say the WWE Universe voted Sara Lee and Josh as the winners.
Not too terribly surprising. I think everybody was kind of expecting this based on when the Final Four got announced. And, you know, regardless, Josh was winning if he made it to the Final Four. We all kind of knew that. And Sara Lee was already in. And given Amanda's lack of popularity, it's not a huge surprise that Sara Lee won.
No, it's not. Even though every single judge wants to say, hey... Amanda should have won, Amanda should have won, Amanda should have won. She didn't win. It's a popularity contest. Jericho pointed out it is a popularity contest. Hell, wrestling is a popularity contest, because if you're not popular, you're not going to go anywhere in the business.
I don't understand why they would say Amanda had to win or should have won.
That just kills any momentum that you would be giving Sara Lee.
Why would you say that on the live show? Why would you say that on Tough Talk? Oh, this person should have won. You know, it's something that this is kind of what soured me on Tough Enough. And I kind of ranted about it a little bit online, where they made this a fan vote. They intentionally made it a popularity contest. And they made it to the point that they did not really give themselves an out. Because I guess they figured they could manipulate the audience into voting for who they wanted. And to a certain extent, the audience did. However, when the audience went rogue on them and voted for the people that they liked, namely Sara Lee and ZZ, WWE and the producers of Tough Enough were unwilling to accept the fans' votes, and they were unwilling to work with the fans on who they decided for.
Right.
And it kind of displayed the whole mentality that WWE, that you hear about with WWE, it displayed that mentality really clearly, where it's basically, well, we're going to ask you, but then we're going to tell you what's best for you. Because they would, every time a fan vote came down, it's like, oh, well, the fans are wrong.
Then don't give the fans the option.
Then don't give the fans the option if you feel that we're wrong. Or guess what? Edit the show differently so we see the person in a different light. Because here's the thing. We're voting for what we see every week on television. And that's what they're living and dying by, is what the editors put on the show. And so for a lot of people connected to ZZ. A lot of people connected to Sara Lee. A lot of people connected to Josh. And so it's like they were okay with Josh, but ZZ, they were not. I mean, they went to the point that they bullied him for probably the last 6 weeks of the show, to where when they got to the finale Tuesday night, he walked out there, he had no personality, he had no spark. He was literally like, just get this over with.
Yeah.
Let's just get it done so I can go home. That's pretty much what it was.
Right.
You could tell.
Oh, yeah.
He was just done. They ripped him down to the point that he was just done, and it's like, Brian tried to be positive about him. I mean, Brian was like, you had a really good match.
Right, yeah.
You did. You stepped up. You could tell that he had lost weight. You could tell that he picked up cardio. You could tell that he had done what they had asked of him. He may not have done it to the degree that they wanted. That's on him. Not going to excuse it. But he did what he was asked. And that's all you can ask of him. And it was irritating to me that it's like Paige and Miz still ripped him down in the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they did kind of the same thing to Sarah Lee, mm-hmm. where they bullied her until she broke and she rose to the occasion. But I think that's another problem I have with the whole show is that their only way to motivate someone is to bully them, is to break them down and tear them down.
Yeah.
And when that method doesn't work, it's, oh, well, we don't want to deal with this person because they're not going to respond the way that we want them to. And I think my biggest issue with ZZ was, well, you're not motivated enough. You're lazy. You're this, you're that. Well, you keep harping on it every week. You keep pointing the same thing out. It's mm-hmm. like he's not aware of it. He is aware of it. Why don't you find something else to pick on him on for, you know? And then it's like they're expecting instant results where they basically want him to drop, what, 30 pounds in 10 weeks and get the cardio of a WWE superstar in 10 weeks?
They didn't want him to drop weight. They just wanted him to get his cardio up.
They wanted him to drop weight.
No, they were denying that. They were saying it on the show. They didn't want to change the law because they have a lot of guys who, you know, aren't the, you know, most, you know, fit. But they can, you know, talk about that's the road. He was never the most fit, but he could just go for hours.
Oh, yeah. No, I get that, but it was kind of inferred that they wanted him to lose a little weight. You could tell a little bit. You know, and he did. He actually did lose a little weight when they did a before and after picture of him. Not a lot, but he had lost a noticeable amount of weight. But again, it's like they're asking for instant results on the cardio. Cardio is one of those things that you can't develop over a short period of time, especially if you're out of shape. You have to develop it over a long period of time. So for someone like him, it's on him that he did not develop it before he came. But then again, a lot of people didn't have what they need in terms of cardio, in terms of muscular strength when they came. And so he has to build that up, and he has to do it slowly. And if you want to build up your cardio, you walk.
Yeah.
And you walk a certain distance for a certain amount of time, and you do that every day until you hit a goal and you set a goal for yourself. Like when I did it, because I built up my cardio, when I did it, it's to get my mile under 20 minutes. And I kept pushing that until eventually I got to where I could do 3 miles in under an hour, which isn't the fastest thing it's walk, but it's building up that cardio to be able to walk 3 miles in that particular amount of time for me. So it's like you have to build it up slowly. You can't push yourself. You can't do more than what you can take. And that's the thing they never got with him. Is it's like he has to do it slowly. Because I think Brian or maybe Lita made the comment that he doesn't like to get his heart rate up.
Yeah, one of the two. Well, it was Lita or Hunter, one of the two.
That it scares him to get his heart rate up.
Yeah.
So that's part of it.
Yeah.
And this obviously wouldn't be the right business for him if he does not like to get his heart rate up. But it's just a good thing he lost. But yeah. I think the whole show for me in general just soured because it was like, there was a lot of bullying, there was a lot of body shaming, there was slut shaming on the end by Amanda's part, which we didn't even get into, which Mick Foley called her out on, and thank you, Mick, because he was basically like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Where Amanda was implying that Sarah was sleeping her way to the top. The top of what? Really, if she's screwing around with some of the NXT people or somebody around there, that's her business. Unless she's sleeping with the entire WWE universe.
If she was screwing John Cena, then not screwing your way to the top. Anyone else, there's really no top.
No, because even if she's screwing John Cena, he still can't help her win the competition.
No.
That's the thing. Like, it's a fan vote. He can help try and sway the fans, but at the end of the day, it's a fan vote, and they're going to vote for who they like. And it's like, so making that accusation of, oh, she's sleeping her way to the top. She's in a fan vote reality competition. There is no sleeping your way to the top in that. None. Absolutely none. The only way would be to screw Daniel Bryan, and he saves her from being in the bottom two, thus declaring her the winner, and I'm pretty sure Brie would not be okay with that.
No.
So, again, it's like, that's what you're going to resort to. You're going to resort to slut shaming and, you know, basically calling her a ring rat on live television. That's what you're going to resort to because you know you can't take this girl down. And what's disappointing is WWE didn't say a word about the slut shaming. It did about the ring rat, but not about the slut shaming.
They pick and choose their battles?
I don't know, man, but overall, it was an interesting experience. I kind of hope they don't bring it back.
It got better when it was a smaller group.
It got better when it was a smaller group, but I would have liked to have seen them show more of the wrestling training than what we saw.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I'm looking forward to the Performance Center special on the network.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. I almost wish they would take Tough Enough and they would use the name Tough Enough with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could, if you want to do that kind of thing where you want a reality-based program around professional wrestling, you can show three people on that show, one just starting out, one in the middle, and one getting ready to go up on the main roster, and you can show the different sides of NXT and what it takes to go from, you know, rookie to veteran to main roster.
Yeah. LeMans is not to be a conspiracy theorist, but how do we know this last vote was an actual fan vote? It was. The whole thing's been an actual fan vote. ZZ was not going to win the fan vote because Josh was the favorite. Based on the previous two times they were in the bottom three together, Josh would always get the more of the vote.
Yeah, Josh was the only person ZZ could not take out, just because Josh had more of a fan following than ZZ did. But ZZ had a really strong following throughout the entire competition. And I think even he knew
in the end,
he was going to lose.
And they pointed out a lot of his flaws in the last couple of weeks. So if you were on the fence about ZZ, once they started putting out all his flaws, they made it seem, hey, here's Josh. He's the perfect Roman Reigns. So go vote for Roman Reigns. I mean, Josh, and he'll win the contest.
Yeah. I mean, they targeted ZZ. Basically, they set ZZ up to lose in the end because they made Josh look like a star.
Mm-hmm.
So he would win. So there is a little rigging on the way that the show has been edited and the way that Josh has been presented, with the way that Josh has been coached on what to say, because he was coached, you can tell.
Hey, look at that. The Cowboys turned the ball over again. What a shocker.
That was a nice catch.
It was. Nice pickoff by the 49ers D team. But it doesn't matter. It's against the Cowboys. And, you know, we always like to take our shots at the Cowboys.
It's football. But, yeah. So that's Tough Enough in a nutshell. I say we take our first break of the evening.
I say we do, and when we come back, I think we're doing SummerSlam, right?
We are. We have SummerSlam, and we have Tweet of the Week, so you don't want to miss it. This is The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer of the show.
Shut up.
Let's do it. Producer of the show.
Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why doesn't Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell. And for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh wait!
I am your host with the most, the Godfather of Extreme, Big. Wow! Insult myself real bad. Wow. All right, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it. Forget. Wow. God damn it, jobber.
What'd I do?
All right. I'm Rob Plus, your godfather of trade, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was. Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So the original tweet is from Virgil. Congrats to my son Xavier Woods for getting the win like his father me at SummerSlam tonight. To which Xavier Woods replies, "No, I'm not your son. When I was 17, you told me that I'd never make it because I'm black. Hashtag get off me, hashtag subtweet and ass." Love you, Xavier Woods. I love you so much. And the Cowboys lose.
Shocker.
Shocker. Becky Lynch. Well, Brooke Lynch, I'll love you and I'll leave you. You are a beautiful, boisterous bunch. Hashtag raw. Becky Lynch again. I'm just your average dinosaur hunting, ghost fighting, cyborg android beating last kicker. Big E. Imagine you were playing an original trombone accompanied song and some old dudes you've never met jumped you at work while bystanders cheered.
That's one.
Wade Barrett. Chatted to Vice, read WWE 2K16. Particularly pleased that my remarkable nipples have finally gotten their due. Bull Dempsey. With a tear in my eye.
Hold on. Remarkable nipples?
That's what the man said.
Remarkable nipples.
Okay. His remarkable nipples. That is why that tweet got favorited, ladies and gentlemen. Wade Barrett said his nipples were remarkable.
Bray has problems with his arms in the video game, and now Wade's talking about his remarkable nipples.
What do you mean Bray has problems with his arms in the video game?
Remember he was, you know, talking about how he wanted to be more swole last year?
No, he wanted to be more stacked last year.
More stacked.
Yeah. That's what he wanted. So, Bold MC, with a tear in my eye and my fit heads by my side, we are going to set the WWE Universe on fire. Hashtag Bullfit. And that's all I got.
That's all you got? All right. So, here we go. Trying to figure out how to do this. Because I got so many.
Oh, God. How many do you have?
Not that many. Like 20-something.
Oh, I missed one. Hold on.
Hold on.
Eden, Brandy Rhodes. Joking on Twitter is not allowed. Neither is smoking on this plane. Okay. Now I'm done.
Okay. No, I was just trying to figure out where I want to place a certain tweet. I should save it for
the end. Oh my God, just read them.
Okay. Crossing Broad. I describe Bradford's game demeanor as, dude, where's my car? Three Man Booth. They're all wearing blue pants. Hashtag Blue Pants City. Hashtag NXT Takeover Brooklyn. Blake and Murphy are dressed like Iron Man, right? Like both of them. Hashtag NXT Takeover Brooklyn. ProWrestling.net. I'd give the hair 4.5 because the dude had a 10 in his hair. Which we'll talk about later. ProWrestling.net. Just once, I wish someone would play the music from the Anchorman after Kevin Owens hits Cannonball. Three Man Booth. NXT Takeover Brooklyn summed up in one move. Bailey can Rana.
Right? We'll talk about that later too.
Cage Seats. Phillips, what's your biggest disadvantage? Neville, I'm short as shit, Tom. Sam Roberts, eat, sleep, kick dicks, repeat, Undertaker. Hashtag SummerSlam. So true.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later, too.
John Stewart turned heel. One of us. One of us. One of us. Chance Fox News. Hashtag SummerSlam. Vacant. Make a John Stewart Mattel action figure with chair accessory now at Ringside Collectibles. Thank you, Stewart. John Stewart turning heel is heartbreaking. Rumors about his new project, The Bailey Show with John Stewart, may be false too. Hashtag SummerSlam. Three Man Booth. Poor Bo Dallas. He's in disbelief. See what they did there? Leva Bates. Blue Pants. Look, it's my two dads. Hashtag Deli Boys. Three Man Booth. First, we were in Suplex City. Now we're in Dudleyville. No passport needed. Hashtag Raw. Team Bell is like the new TLC. Crazy, sexy, eco-friendly. Hashtag Raw. Keep it 5-star. Loud AJ Lee chants. AJ Lee. Oh, now you chant it. Changes the channel. Hashtag Raw. Kevin Sullivan from Sullivan Books. If the crowd really was awesome, they wouldn't be telling us. Hashtag Raw. Very true. Keep it 5-star. Should have went for the springboard stunner, Mandy. Hashtag tough enough. Always works. Keep it 5-star. How does nobody have a Cesaro section sign? You had a week to do your homework, Full Sail. Hashtag tough enough. Three Man Booth. Okay. Who showed Natty Urban Dictionary? Was it you, Cameron, looking at you? Hashtag Total Divas. Go check out The Rock Extra Total Divas for that reference. Three Man Booth. Natty, I'm 32 and he made me feel like Sally Jesse Raphael. Everyone else. We don't know who that is. Hashtag Total Divas. Keep it 5-star. Brie, I've got a surprise. Nikki, what? Is John proposing to me on the ice? Haha, just kidding. Looks around for John Cena. Bully Ray, damn bro, you still here? Thought you would be picking splinters out of your ass till next Monday. That was directed at Xavier Woods. He replied, ha, I'm almost done. How can the two of you have such little respect for furniture? Hard working people made it. And finally. So we all know the Undertaker meme face, right? Yeah, the one where he just sits up and, you know, mocks Brock Lesnar's laughing. That one?
Yeah, yeah.
Which we're going to get into here in a minute. PFT commenter goes, that face, right? It's a picture. When someone thinks Tony Romo can get you to a Super Bowl. Tweet of the week.
I'm just going to point out who took the shot. Just saying.
Hey, you took the shots last weekend. Well, shots aren't done for the night. But anyway.
No. Are they ever done?
Never. Never, ever, 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 but that's Tweet of the Week.
That is Tweet of the Week. So now we are going to jump into SummerSlam, the 3-hour and 40-minute spectacular.
So we had John Stewart as the host of SummerSlam. He plays a key part in the show.
He does.
He came out, talked up the matches. He wanted to interview Brock Lesnar for, you know, ending the thing.
We're not going to talk about the thing.
So he needed backup. He needed someone to help him interview him. So he brings out Mick Foley, of all people. So Mick Foley gets the big pop, pops in his teeth, classy. And then was all like, I thought you were wanting me to help you interview The Rock, because, you know, me and him are boys. I would help you interview The Rock. But I'm not helping you interview Brock. I'm afraid of Brock Lesnar. I'm terrified of Brock Lesnar.
We're all terrified of Brock Lesnar, Mick. Except The Undertaker.
Except The Undertaker. And Foley's gone a lot of places. Disney World, Disneyland, all the amusement parks. He just doesn't want to visit Suplex City. He's not going to. So he leaves. So Stewart's left on his own. It was a fun open.
It was a fun open. It was a good open. It was a nice way to get Foley out there, get the cheap pop, have Stewart introduce himself to the crowd, have a little fun, open the show, and lead right to our first match.
Which was Sheamus and Randy Orton.
They got this one out of the way early.
They did get this one out of the way early. It was your typical Sheamus-Randy Orton match.
Yeah. Not too much happened, but in the end, the Hawk prevailed.
Yeah, there was one spot in the match where, you know, Sheamus was being called stupid, and he called us all stupid. Don't call us stupid, Sheamus. That's not cool.
We're not the ones with dangly bits.
Exactly. And I keep saying this over and over ago, but over and over again, but it's clear. Hangman DDT is just known as vintage Randy Orton.
Everything is vintage Randy Orton when it comes to Randy Orton. He breathes, vintage Randy Orton, according to Michael Cole.
This is true. Sheamus launched himself into an RKO, rolled out of the ring, though, which was smart. Pun attempt, white noise, bro kick, no, RKO, no, bro kick. Your winner, Sheamus.
It was a nice victory for him. It was a good victory. He kind of needed it, just a little bit.
He kind of needed it. That's the best way to put it. He did need the win on that one. I should mention, since we did a whole pick'em thing, we all got that one right.
Because we all picked Sheamus.
We all picked Sheamus on that one. And then we got to the tag team title match. There's a lot to get into this one, okay? You had, before we get to the majority of it, but first, the New Day had new gear.
The New Day was shaking their booties.
They had white gear. What'd you think of the gear?
I liked the white gear. I thought it was really nice on them. They did a good job with it. I mean, white and gold was kind of the theme of the night and of the weekend.
Yeah.
A lot of the wrestlers did a white and gold gear
theme.
So, but yeah, New Day looked great. They looked phenomenal. They were having fun. They were dancing. They were laughing. They were ready to win the tag team titles.
And they were also, you know, singing.
Let's hear it for New Day.
Oh, right on key. Pitch perfect.
Negativity won't affect us. Clap cause it's infectious.
Let's hear it for New Day.
All those other tag teams are booty. Yeah, I said booty.
Let's hear it for New Day. New Day. New Day.
Okay.
That was good.
I don't care about New Day in the ring that much.
No.
On the promo, though, is
amazing. On the promo, they're awesome.
Between that, Raw, and what they did on WWE.com.
Yeah. If you've missed it, go to WWE.com and just watch their interview with Michael Cole. It is spectacular.
It is spectacular, because they shake their booty in front of Michael Cole and keep hitting the gong symbol thing. It's amazing.
It's
just great.
Side note, I hate Dish TV so much.
We know this. Anyway, the tag team titles were on the line. Primetime Players, New Day Matadors, and Lucha Dragons. New Day tried something cool. They actually tried pinning each other, which was different and unique. We had the vintage Sin Cara botch in this one, where he tried to head scissors on a Matador and it failed. Big E was trying to kill people. Titus O'Neil was trying to kill people. We had a Tower of Doom spot where Kofi made a blind tag. Clash of the Titans on a Matador. Running knee by Kofi. Your winners and new tag team champions. The New Day.
And they were just a touch excited about this.
They were just a touch excited about this one.
You know, as they should be. They're the tag team champions.
They are the tag team champions. And when it came to this matchup, we both got it wrong.
Not surprising.
I went for Lucha Dragons, you went for the Primetime Players, and so did the Magic 8-Ball. Hey, but you got the tiebreaker question right on that one.
I did.
Yeah. So there you go. And then, then it was a moment where we went, oh, so that's how Take Your Travels.
Yep.
So John Stewart was in the back, talking to Neville and Mel, and then he was talking about how he's, you know, big good friends with Taker, and then Taker walks by, glares at him, lights go out, smoke, you know.
Yeah, apparently Taker has a portable smoke machine that he keeps in his coat.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't you know this?
Oh, I knew this. I was just rather surprised that they acknowledged it. It was kind of awesome, because when you think of Taker, he doesn't necessarily interact with anybody backstage. He doesn't really do much. He just kind of shows up, does his thing, and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you had him do that moment with Jon Stewart backstage, Stephen Amell standing there, Neville standing there, and it's like, oh, hey, it's a Taker. And he just, you know, the lights go out, and they're all standing there like, and you just see the range of everybody's faces. Like, Stewart and his kid look terrified. They're selling it. Amell is in awe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy crap, it's Taker. Oh my god, holy crap, it's Taker. And Neville's like, dude.
Right?
I could take it. But yeah, just the range of faces and everybody being in awe of The Undertaker as he, you know, casually strolls by, glares at them for being in his way, kind of not really,
mm-hmm.
and he walks off.
Right?
He was going out for his evening stroll before he faced Brock.
You know, he's gotta, you know, build up his cardio and all that fun stuff, so he's going for a nice little walk.
Yeah.
That's all it really, really was. So good stuff there. And then it brought us to Rusev versus Dolph Ziggler. And I know I was surprised that it ended in a double countout.
I was, but I wasn't. They're not ready to have a winner in this feud yet. I liked the girls, though. I thought they did a nice job.
Lana's in denim.
Lana's in denim.
Which was interesting.
It was. She hasn't quite ditched the suit completely, but she will.
She will.
She's working on it.
She's working on it. But, you know, overall, it was a solid match. Ziggler super kicked Rusev on the announce table, and that's sort of how it went from there. They had a fight. The girls fought a little bit more, and that's how it ended.
That is how it ended.
So we're going to get more, maybe a mixed tag coming up. We'll see.
We will. We'll have to see.
Neville and, by the way, since that, officially that was a draw, so no one got a win or a loss on that one. It's a tie.
Damn it, guys.
Stephen Amell and the Neville taking on Stardust and the Cosmic King, King Barrett.
This was a fun, fun little match.
Yeah.
Stephen Amell needs to come back. He went for it, man. He just went for it.
Oh, yeah. When he jumped right in the ring and jumped like halfway across the ring to Stardust, that was pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. He's in shape. He does his own stunts on Arrow, so he's fully trained for this. Or he's at least physically trained. You know, they obviously taught him some moves, taught him how to bump, all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He went out there, and he actually did fairly well.
He did. He did. He did. He did a nice enziguri, nice hip toss at one point. We had a twisting 450 by Neville, which was broken up by Stardust. Barrett and Stardust get dumped over. Amell dives off the top rope onto Barrett and Stardust. And then Barrett takes the red arrow. Your winners, Stephen Amell and Neville.
No surprise that these two won.
No surprise. It was the only match going in, like I said, that I knew the outcome to. So
yeah.
I won.
And just to prove that Amell did actually get in there and do stuff, go look at his Instagram. He posted a picture of his back after the match.
Mm-hmm. It was. Yeah, a little bruised up.
All bruised up. He had some fun.
Yeah. We then had the Intercontinental title match. By the way, we all picked Neville and Amell. Ryback, Big Show, The Miz. It was a thing.
It was short.
Yes.
Thank God. Ryback won.
Ryback won. He retained his title. It was a match.
It was there. I mean, for what it was a nice little filler match. It wasn't anything spectacular. I don't think anybody was expecting anything spectacular. So for what it was very good. They did their thing. They filled their spot. They kept it short. They kept it sweet. They kept it to the point. And Ryback retained.
Miz going for multiple pins was funny. That's the best part. That was the best part of the match. John Stewart was looking around, found Brock Lesnar. We found Paul Heyman, talking about how we didn't get a puppy. We got Cole for Christmas thanks to Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman when the thing broke. And then Paul Heyman started to sing, and, well, he retorted, I guess we could have gotten Letterman, and then starts going back in the locker room and starts, you gotta hear this, Brock. I'm gonna tell you this story. And that's how we go. And John Stewart was not happy.
John Stewart ran away.
Yeah. Alright, so one of the matches we were really, really looking forward to was Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, taking on Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, the Wyatt family, in a family versus family showdown. First things first, Bray Wyatt has horns?
Bray, honey, I don't know what that was. I don't want to know what that was. He got a new jacket.
Mm-hmm.
He looks very dapper in it, except for the horns. Cause he walks out in the dark and all you see is like the outline of the horn or part of it in the darkness from the light of the lantern and the light from the stage behind him. I was like, wait, does he have horns?
Yeah.
I love him to death, but I honestly can't decide if he looks like a yeti or like a yak or a goat. I haven't figured this out yet.
By the way, but you got Ryback correct. I had Miz and April had Big Show. Anyway, continue. How'd I make that clarified? Go ahead.
But yeah, so Bray had horns. Not entirely sure why Bray had horns. Not entirely sure why he got the horns since he walked out in the dark and he took them off before anybody could see them. But okay. So he had horns. But this was a great, great match. My only complaint on it is I wish it had been about 5 minutes longer.
This was 10 minutes of fast-paced, non-stop action. We had brawling on the outside. We had people diving on tables, diving across tables, like Dean did on the Bray. He went from the Germans to the Spanish to the Americans on the Bray. Bray did dives on Roman on the side of the ring, drives him in the side of the ring. Luke dove on to Roman. Luke boots Dean, sent on Bray on the outside to Dean. Then we had shirtless Dean, and Luke steps on Dean's head, which he probably didn't appreciate. And the key was constant tags by the Wyatts. Couple moves, tagging in and out. He had a Roman sleeping chant, which then woke up Roman Reigns, which was funny.
Yeah.
He got the hat tag, he hit set up for the punch, Luke kicks him, sit down, powerbomb, 2 count. Spike pile driver attempt, no, Superman punches for the Wyatts. Doomsday device was pulled out by Roman and Dean. 2 count as Luke made the save. Superman punch to Harper. We had a shield powerbomb without Seth Rollins. Abigail, no. Dirty Deeds. Roman gets the tag. Spear to Bray. Your winners, Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose.
I was a little surprised that Dean and Roman won this, and then Monday night happened, and now I understand why Dean and Roman won this. Because again, Bray took the loss too well. So, like we said last week, with Bray on SmackDown, he had a plan. He's had a plan all along, and he knew he had Strowman in his back pocket, and he just waited until the perfect time to reveal him to the world. And wow, he's a big dude.
He is a big, big dude, which we talked about earlier. By the way, for those just tuning in, you are listening to The Rock Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Still to come, we will be joined by a host on this network to talk TakeOver.
A special guest. And yes, sorry, we're going super long on this one. So, because we still, like you said, we still have TakeOver and we have to finish out SummerSlam, which we're going to do here in a few minutes. But first, we're going to talk about champion versus champion. Seth Rollins, your world heavyweight champion, taking on John Cena, the United States champion.
Seth Rollins, white and gold.
There are very few people that can pull off those kind of pants in white. Seth Rollins is one of them. I applaud him. It's difficult to do. No, seriously, it is difficult to pull off white pants like that.
Mm-hmm.
He did a good job. I'm not sure I liked it, but there was some Star Wars level stuff going on with the good guy being in white and the bad guy being in black.
Just saying.
Or the bad guy in white and the good guy in black.
Yeah.
There we go.
So this was a really fun match. We had a springboard stunner, which he needs to stop doing.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a nice shooting star from Seth Rollins. We had the Cena flying leg drop for a 2 count. Cena put Rollins on his shoulder, goes for the A off the top rope. Did not happen. We had a nice turnbuckle powerbomb and then an amazing frog splash by Seth Rollins, which then he rolled through for an AA attempt. Rollins then hits the AA for a 2 count. Phoenix flash, no STF. Rollins gets out, AA, no. Pedigree, no. Figure four. Rollins reversed and Cena's foot basically up Rollins' ass on the reversal.
The entire time.
Just, if you go back and watch it, you can see where his foot is. It's directly up Seth Rollins' ass. Superplex into a roll-through suplex, which was pretty damn impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a nice spot.
We had the AA, ref down, knee to a face. John Stewart comes out, grabs a chair, drives into the midsection of Cena. Pedigree on chair, your winner, Seth Rollins.
I think we all kind of figured this was going to have a dirty finish.
Mm-hmm.
I like that it had a dirty finish. I like that Stewart played a factor in it.
It's good. Good stuff.
Overall, it was a really good match. Cena and Rollins have some beautiful chemistry together.
Yeah. And it once again, it proved that Seth Rollins is one of the best wrestlers in the company.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, they both had a wonderful showing.
Yeah, they did. We then had had the Divas tag match, Team Bella, Team Bad, Team PCB. It was a good match.
It was a good match. Takeover was better.
Takeover was a lot better. But you had all the girls in there. Team Bad was eliminated first with four on by Nikki, which I called, and Brie hit a face buster. So there you go on that one. We had the big dive through the ropes. Everyone did a dive. Looked like Sasha came up short on her dive.
A little bit, yeah.
Which led down to PCB versus Team Bella. They worked over Becky for a while. Everyone got in. Alabama Sam by Nikki onto Paige on the outside. Team Bella control. Paige makes the hot tag to Charlotte. She ran wild. Spear to Fox. Figure eight. Nikki broke it up. Paige spears Nikki out of the ring. Double boot both women down. Becky and Brie get tagged in. Brie goes to the top rope. Missed the drop kick. And then
Badly.
And then
badly missed the drop kick.
Becky Lynch pick up the win for her team, which was surprising.
I think she was surprised too, because Becky's like, holy crap, we won.
That's usually her reaction.
I love that that's always her reaction whenever they win. Holy crap, we won. I love that Becky is always stunned when they win.
Right?
It's kind of adorable, but this match was good. Don't get me wrong. They did a great, great job with it. It just lacked the emotional side of it that the previous night's match had.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that there's no way that they were going to be able to capture what was done in the match at TakeOver, which we'll be talking about here in a little bit. But I'm kind of with everybody where I'm sick of them coming up with reasons for them to do team matches or for these nine girls to end up in some sort of match together. I wish they kind of move them all along a little bit and find something fresh or find a different way. Like, you know, have them do more singles matches or more tag matches, but not triple threats or anything like that. I actually want to see somebody from Team Bad, somebody from Team PCB go for Nikki's title.
Charlotte, Sasha, Nikki, Night Champions. Book it.
Book it.
And I actually want to see Nikki get to one day before AJ's title reign.
Gone.
And she loses that belt.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. To catch up, I had Team PCB, you had Team Bad, 8-Ball had Team Bad. We all had the Wyatts, we also lost that one. And we all had Seth Rollins to catch everyone up. Alright, so Kevin Owens took on Cesaro. Pretty good match.
This was a great match. They went out there to kill each other.
Hard shots, repeatedly uppercuts, big dives, corkscrew by Cesaro was amazing over the top rope. Ooh.
Oh, we forgot to talk about it in the Tough Enough review, but during the matches, when Cesaro gave Josh that uppercut.
Ooh, stiff.
He gave Josh the stiffest uppercut you've ever seen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
The judges lost it laughing. The trainers lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was like, holy crap, that was awesome.
Yeah, there was a nice power lift gut wrench suplex by Cesaro from the top rope, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cesaro was really good in this one. He had a nice uppercut coming off the ropes. He did the giant swing. He did the sharpshooter. We had a fisherman's buster from the top rope into the pop-up powerbomb. Your winner, Kevin Owens.
Hi. Not surprising that he won.
Which we all had Kevin Owens winning.
Yeah. But Cesaro had a great, great showing.
Cesaro had a great showing. This was a really, really good match.
It was.
Then we get to the main event.
Oh god, the main event.
The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. And they came out and it was a fight from the jump.
Brock didn't even let Taker get his hat off.
Nope, hat and coat still on.
Brock went for the fight, Taker fought back, they were able to get separated long enough for Taker to get the hat and the coat off, and then they just went to town on each other. Suplexes, I think there were five or six to Taker.
I have five.
Yeah. Which I don't remember how many there were. All I remember is sitting here yelling at the television, please stop, he's old.
I can
He doesn't bend that way anymore.
I can confirm this.
Yeah. Yeah. We need him for Mexico, Brock. Be gentle.
Yeah, we had five suplexes, four Germans, one belly to belly. We had three F5s. We had the double meme laugh, sit up face. That was a thing of beauty.
It's like, Oh Taker, you jerk. Taker was playing up being the heel. He was having fun.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell.
Oh yeah.
I will say this match went a lot better than Mania 30 did.
You could
tell they were a little bit more careful.
Mm-hmm. So he hit the third F5. Brock, Taker kicked out. Hell's Gate, Kimura lock. Bell sounds. What the hell happened? Everyone's confused. As the timekeeper rang the bell, match was restarted or just continued on because it was a mistimed bell. Low blow by Taker. Hell's Gate. Brock gives him the middle finger as he passes out. Which
it's not PG, Brock.
Which was just epic. The middle finger was epic.
Oh, it was epic. It was absolutely epic. It's F-U.
Mm-hmm.
So hard.
pretty much, your winner, The Undertaker. Replay showed Undertaker tapping out. Paul Heyman was screaming he tapped out. But Heyman then said, the winner by tap out submission, Brock Lesnar. So that's SummerSlam. Alright, let's get into this finish. What do you think?
I am 100% okay with the finish had they not rung the bell. That's my only problem with it. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it would have gone better had you had Heyman on the side that Taker was tapping out, and Heyman had seen the tap out and starts screaming, he's tapping out, he's tapping out, he's tapping out, because Brock would have felt it based on where Taker was tapping, because he's tapping against Brock's leg. So Brock would have felt it, that would have forced Brock to kind of let go a little bit, and that allowed Taker the room that he needed to get out of the Kimura and then do the finish.
Right.
It was really confusing that you had the timekeeper opt to ring the bell versus the ref choosing to ring the bell or saying he should ring the bell. It caused, I think, way too much confusion on everybody's part.
Yes.
'Cause we're like, what? What's going on?
Right.
So I think had you just taken the timekeeper out of that equation, it would have been much simpler, because then it comes down to Paul Heyman versus The Undertaker's word. Mm-hmm. That The Undertaker did not tap out, he did not cheat, and of course they have it on film, and it's something that, you know, the next night on Raw, or somewhere after that, you have Paul Heyman be like, oh yeah, you know, well, you totally tapped, here's the video, and he shows the video of Taker tapping.
Yeah.
Which you, obviously, they are trying to get this to a third match. That is how they're going to get this to a third match with these two, mm-hmm. is eventually Taker will come back, and eventually Brock will challenge Taker to a fair fight, and hopefully this time a stip gets slapped on.
Yeah, because there needs to be a winner, and this whole thing needs to end.
Yeah.
So overall, SummerSlam was a solid show. The ending.
Well, what do you think?
I'm with you on everything you just said. I'm with you on everything on the finish. The bell threw me off. It really, really, really did. It made no sense. It just, I know what they were going for, it just didn't work.
Yeah.
It left a bad taste in my mouth to end SummerSlam, because overall, SummerSlam was an enjoyable show. It was an enjoyable 3 hours and 40-something minutes until the finish. And and the thing is, it's not a rage finish. It's just, really? You know, it just let you in. That's the way you wanted it. After the whole big setup for this match was you wanted a conclusive finish.
Yeah, and there wasn't one.
And you just wanted that conclusive ending. It's SummerSlam. You want, if it's supposed to be WrestleMania, you always get that conclusive ending. And it's like, it wasn't. It was screwy. And it's like,
it was.
Just left a very bad taste in the mouth. And it was a good match. It was much better than I thought it was going to be. Much better than WrestleMania.
I'm happy it was better. I'm happy it went better. I'm happy Taker is not hurt, but he's feeling okay. There were rumors that he had passed out after the match, or he collapsed. He apparently did, but it wasn't for long, and he was right back up, and he's fine.
Yeah. Anticlimactic is the best way to put it. Yes, the man's a good word.
Yeah, very anticlimactic. You wanted that ending. You wanted that finality to it. And I don't know if we're going to get it or when we're going to get it, but it's just like, at this point, just let's get this over with.
You wanted it at SummerSlam and you just didn't get it.
Yeah.
Overall, I hate this part of the show. Really, really do. So overall, the Magic 8-Ball went 3-6. I went 5. The 8-Ball went 3-6-1. I went 5-4-1. Lindsay went 6-3-1. But congratulations to Starscream Josh, as he's the winner of SummerSlam Pick'em, and he wins a copy of Daniel Bryan's book, Yes, My Improbable Journey to the Main Event of WrestleMania, and Tim's car flag thingy, because he was the overall winner for the last 3 months.
Good for him. Congratulations. But yeah, just overall SummerSlam view. SummerSlam was good.
Good.
TakeOver was better.
And speaking of TakeOver, that's what we're getting into next.
That's right, but we're going to take a break first.
We're taking a break first. We have a special guest lined up to help us talk TakeOver.
Yes, so when we come back, we're doing all things NXT with our very special guest, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTuckRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Die for each other. We're cool for the summer.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not going to sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles. Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You think you know me.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And we are back, and we are talking NXT. And as promised, we have a very special guest with us.
We do have a very special guest. We should introduce this special guest.
We should. Joining us from WTR Sunday Nights, the be-all, end-all of our little network, the Omega.
Hello, everybody. Oh, I feel so special now.
So is this your one time a year contractual obligation to be on
the
show?
Yeah, okay. That's pretty much how it went.
Okay, just making sure.
I get one on CB Radio, one on the rack.
Okay, just making sure.
Well, you know, as his former secretary, gotta swing it.
Mm-hmm. Still don't have anyone to fill that position.
If you would like to be Omega's secretary, you know, tweet him at TJ Omega.
I thought that was King Kittens.
No.
No?
I think he wants the job, but Omega's very, very hesitant.
But, you know, he looks so cute sashaying around with the files, with the paperwork.
That is very disputable.
Somewhere he's going, I hate you guys, I hate you guys, I hate you guys.
Well, you know, he can tell us all about it Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just play certain cards to tell him about it.
Yes.
A fun time is always had on Saturday nights.
You know, one of these days, we three need to get together, come up with a strategy, you know.
A theme for the night.
A theme for the night.
He would hate us if we did.
Which means we have to.
Yeah.
It's how we show love.
Tell your secretary to put it in the books and we'll set up a meeting.
I don't have a secretary.
Well, King Kittens, put it down in the notes and we'll get it all set up.
Yeah, King Kittens, plan your punishment for us.
Well, technically he is the intern, so...
You know, it worked.
It works.
Get on it, King Kittens.
Kidding.
Not really.
They're evil.
She's evil.
Well, yeah, we all know that, though. I prove it every Saturday night.
This is very true.
So, before we tangent off into a completely random thing, because I have no other word, we're here to talk TakeOver. We're here to talk NXT. We're here to talk about the show that was way the hell better than SummerSlam.
Yeah, it was so much better than SummerSlam. But not to say SummerSlam was bad. TakeOver was just a lot better, and the crowd had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, the crowd had a lot to do with it. Some of the matches had a lot to do with it. So, I say we don't delay any further and we get right into it.
So let's dive into this show. And this was an interesting show from top to bottom. And it started out with Triple H in the ring and he did a whole thing, and which was interesting, and he got the crowd to pop and they are the future. And he starts dark and then he just pops into this big old stadium with 15,000 plus people in it. It's just, you just watch what he does and you look at the building and go, holy crap, they are here. They have made it.
They have arrived.
And it's all kinds of awesome.
Can we just talk about 15,000 people in that building all screaming?
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, Full Sail? Suck it.
You know, they did tell Full Sail some things throughout the show.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Full Sail University turned heel that night.
Yeah. Brooklyn, Full Sail showed their displeasure for Brooklyn. Brooklyn showed it right back. It was awesome. Don't mess with Brooklyn. Ever. But, yeah. I liked Triple H's little intro. I liked that he was like, we are NXT, and he got the crowd pumped up for it, and it was just a nice little segment into it, because you could tell that this is Hunter's baby, this is his brand, and this was his moment. You know, he didn't really get this at Mania, because Mania was the first real go-round for this. And now it's like, hey, we sold out the Barclays Center. Let's, you know, maybe give Hunter a little moment to be like, ha, I told you, see, it can work.
To think about it, they tripled the audience from San Jose. Tripled it.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's really impressive.
Yeah.
And
they
didn't do really any advertising.
It's hard to tell whether or not they did or not. You know, I would assume the local advertising is a lot heavier than what we saw.
Oh, they did some advertising. They did some media and the like. And they did more advertising than they did for San Jose, but...
It's the rookie division.
Right.
Right?
And they've got a legit pay-per-view level crowd.
And as we talked about last week, Hunter had no expectations for it. He didn't even want to run Barclays for NXT because he didn't think that, you know, it's NXT. They shouldn't be on that level yet. And he was talked into it, and it turned out to be this amazing success.
I mean, obviously the biggest test for it is for them to go back and them to do that again, where they sell out something like Barclays or Barclays itself again, if it's available for them. That will prove whether NXT is truly successful or not. But this is a huge triumph for Hunter, for WWE. You could tell he was just kind of having this moment, because there's this point where you realize this is what WWE could look like and feel like with Hunter at the helm.
Yeah, it really is. And think about this. About 6 months ago, This whole weekend wasn't even thought of.
Nope.
Because if you remember correctly, SummerSlam was supposed to be at the Izod Center in New Jersey.
Yep.
That place got shut down, so they had to go to a backup plan, and that was Barclays. And then it turned into 3 nights of sellouts. That's impressive.
I was going to say, think about that. They sold out Barclays 3 nights in a row, and one of them was the Rookies. That's super impressive. I mean, I can't talk about it enough in terms of just touting that success for them, because I'm super happy that they did that, because it's like, when you hear that NXT is going to run Barclays, you're like, oh God, that's a huge building. Oh God, they're only going to put like 5,000 people and all you think is TNA.
Yeah.
Cause we've seen what TNA's done, and you know, they
yeah.
block off half a building to make it seem like it's a full building.
Well, not half a building. You know, let's book like a baseball stadium and give you like 400 seats blocked right there in the little spot.
Yeah. I mean, so you're like super scared that, oh God, this is going to look awful. And then you hear, oh, hey, look, they sold out 5,000 seats and 6,000 and 7,000 all the way up to 15,000 seats. And when you find out, hey, they sold out the Barclays Center for NXT, I remember talking to Rock about it, and it's like, this is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens, this is going to be good.
And the people in this building didn't let us down.
Yeah, that's the most telling thing to me, is of all the shows they ran there, by far NXT was the hottest and the most excited crowd for what they were seeing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the crowd was super into it. They were fantastic for this show. They were into it from start to finish, which was awesome.
Yeah, and we have the 2-hour special and then 90 minutes from Wednesday night, and you just heard the crowd the entire show. So let's think about it. They were there for over almost 3.5 hours, and they were loud the entire time.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
When you watch Raw, people get tired out 2 hours in. So it's like to have 3.5 hours, just about almost 4, because it went in, almost 4 hours, because it started around 7:30, didn't end until almost 11:30, so almost 4 hours.
Yeah, and the thing about NXT is it doesn't get slowed down by a lot of vignettes and backstage promos and interviews and all this. It just keeps going.
Yeah. And commercials.
Yeah, it just built and built and built and built, and it was great.
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with the way that they booked out the card, too, because they put a lot of thought into the way that they planned out the card and how the show was going to ebb and flow, and how you had your, you know, you had a solid opener, you had your nice little kind of up, and they took you down, and then they brought you way up,
yeah.
And then they kept taking you up until you got to that finale, and then you could come down after the finale, and it's like, holy crap, it's over.
Yeah.
But they did a really nice job with that, where the show just moved mm-hmm. for 3 hours, or for two and a half, because we were all sitting here going, oh crap, it's going to go over, because it's supposed to be 2 hours, and it's like, oh, it was like 10 minutes before they're up, and they haven't even gotten to the main event. Yep, they're going over.
Yeah, I don't care. Keep going. As long as you want.
Yeah.
Keep going. You're on the network. You're totally fine. Just do the thing.
Yeah, they mentioned that throughout on the commentary. It's like, if this was on pay-per-view, we would be off the air right now, but since it's the network, we can go as long as we want.
Right? It's like thumbing their nose at pay-per-view.
Which they do quite often with their flash cards.
Because they can't.
Yeah.
All right.
But,
go ahead.
Yeah. Speaking of the ebb and flow, speaking of how the show was booked, we should probably talk about the matches.
Yeah, let's dive into the matches.
Oh, there were matches? Okay.
There were matches.
All right. No, we're not getting to matches. We're getting to an entrance. Tyler Breeze versus Jushin Thunder Liger. Let's talk about Tyler Breeze's entrance.
I love how they did this.
It was amazing. You had different people, women in costumes, Lady Liberty, and a bunch of others.
The taxi was creepy.
The taxi was creepy. And he played it up like he did the fashion show back at the last takeover, and it was another style fashion show.
It's his summer collection.
It was his summer collection, yeah.
First one was spring, this one was summer, the next one will be fall.
Oh, God.
You know, he does a collection per season. God, he's a model.
I know. It's great. They pull out all the stops for Tyler Breeze. They make him look like a big star, don't you think?
They really do. Though I do question why all these buildings came out and then there's just a taxi cab. It's not like New York is short for famous buildings.
I guess they didn't want a bunch of women dressed up as buildings. I don't know.
Don't start trying to apply logic to this.
I more like how the ramp lit up.
Yeah.
They had the LED ramp, and so they made the ramp and the stage basically into whatever they wanted it to. So for like this, they turned it into a white runway mm-hmm. and they had like a white backdrop behind him, and you just had the models and everything come out, and it was just so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And then perfect. He walked out in his raccoon-inspired outfit. How many raccoons died for that one, I want to know. It was taking selfies with everybody. I mean, it had a big match feel to it. It had a big show feel to it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then you had Liger come out. He got his big old pop because, you know, he's Juice and Thunder Liger. And it's his first ever time in, what, 30 years he's been wrestling. He finally makes it to WWE.
It's not often you see a 50-year-old make his debut.
Well, we've seen it twice in the last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's becoming a common theme in WWE because they're getting all these holdouts that never came to the company.
So, yeah. So they had a match. The match was pretty good. It was solid. The parts I love the most were Liger mocking Breeze's comedy.
Oh, grabbing the selfie stick.
First he did the pose on the robes, and then he grabbed the selfie stick, and he just mocked Tyler Breeze. It was
awesome.
That
was good.
It was just amazing.
And it's like, I don't know why, but the mask kept smiling. I don't know why, but yeah. For 50, Liger moves really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was doing very, very well. I was very impressed with it. I thought the match was good.
Oh, yeah. And I love that we pulled out the surfboard.
Oh, yeah, nice.
They gave him enough time to get all his signature moves in. That was really cool to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. It finished with the Liger Bomb, of course, which was a little bit surprising that Liger actually won this match, seeing as Tyler is the regular, but overall.
Really?
It was. You know, you figure they give him a little bit of a win.
Yeah, but I figure it's might be the only time he ever wrestles for the WWE, so of course he's going to win. And Steve Borden is looking at me going, like, glaring at me right now.
I was just going to bring that up. They're a Sting. Your logic doesn't make sense when it happened to Sting at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but Sting's facing Rollins at Night of Champions, so...
But that wasn't the plan 6 months ago.
Well, neither was Taker at SummerSlam. Plans change.
Which we've talked about already. Yeah. Alright. So, yeah. So, Juice and Thunder Liger picked up the win with the Liger Bomb. It was a good match. They did some nice dives and everything, and yeah. Overall, impressive.
It was a nice opener for what was TakeOver. The crowd had already been there an hour and a half, but for the crowd on the network, it was a nice opening match. It set the pace for the show. They got a lot of time for this, which is what we can say about all the matches. None of them really felt rushed.
Oh, no.
They all got time. They were all able to do what they wanted to do, this match in particular. And I think that's what made it good, is it just didn't feel crammed in or rushed or anything like that.
I would agree. We had our first celebrities in the crowd. The NWO's Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Sean Waltman. Yay!
Yo.
They were there. We then had a video for the debuting Nia Jax, who is coming soon. Should be interesting.
For those of you who don't know, Nia Jax is The Rock's cousin.
Yeah. So we had that, and we were like, who is that? Who is that? And she's like, no, that's The Rock's cousin.
I need her and Tamina to get together. And kill everybody. I need that.
Yeah. Our next contest was the tag team championship match, Blake and Murphy, with the evil Sparkle Fairy, Alexa Bliss, taking on the Vaude Villains. Before we get, again, go to entrances. I know Lindsay liked the top hats.
Oh my god, I squeed so hard. I love a gentleman that can pull off a good top hat and a coat. I really can. And the fact that they walked out, the whole thing was black and white, and they walk out in the top hats and the riding coats, and they go to do the old school fisticuffs. It was just really well done.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Gotch and English are so adorable together. Mm-hmm. I love it.
It works. It works so well.
And to see the entrance on the big screen like that, that was cool.
Oh, it was.
I thought it was cool to see a bit, because one of the things we like mention on WTR a lot is when they bring up someone like Adam Rose, who's known for his entrance, it just doesn't work with a big audience. I was thrilled that something like the Vaude Villains worked for 15,000 people.
Yeah.
Right? It was awesome.
Their entrance translates over, which is good.
Yeah. And I will say this, though. Blake and Murphy's entrance. Oh, sweet baby Jesus.
It's hard. It's hard going from black and white to blaring.
One of these days, like, I'm positive their strategy is to kill someone in the ring with an epileptic seizure before the match.
I think they're trying to give somebody motion sickness. That's just me.
Oh, that's the cameraman.
Yeah.
You know, if they didn't do the zoom in and zoom out with it, it wouldn't be so bad.
No.
It really wouldn't.
No, the entrance is visual dubstep.
I mean, it's just like that entrance, it translated over, it worked. I just hate that entrance so much.
Yeah, I have to look away at times because it's just so blaring.
I just focus on Alexa when she walks out.
Always got to look at the evil sparkle fairy.
Because the evil sparkle fairy is awesome.
And the evil sparkle fairy talked about how they couldn't find anyone. And she walked over to slap them again like she did the previous few weeks.
Wait, before we get there, there was a blue pants chant.
There was a blue pants chant.
Mm-hmm.
And conveniently, they were wearing blue. Ah.
And well, I think we're going to take a visit to the clearance rack, y'all.
As old blue pants came to the ring to be the backup for the Vaughn villains.
And goddamn if she didn't get a pop.
Oh my god.
I've never heard a jobber pop like that.
They need to sign her.
I think they're about to.
They should. I mean, God, she's over. She's so over.
She's over with blue pants.
With pants.
You know they're sitting there backstage listening to them chant for her, calling her blue pants, and popping for her, and they're just like, these idiots. I can't deal with these people. Because you know it's like the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah, there's been someone in the WWE locker room working the same gimmick for 5 years, watching that going, what am I doing wrong?
Why didn't I wear blue pants?
Why didn't I think of blue pants?
And that was fan-created.
Well, actually, technically, Enzo and Gas created her because they called her blue pants. That's and they right. sang the whole thing, and they did the whole thing.
Right.
And then she just, for whatever reason, the WWE universe, we adopted her.
And started chanting blue pants anytime she showed up.
And started chanting blue pants and popping for her every time she showed up because she's just adorable.
Mm-hmm.
And awesome.
Yeah, we had a Blue Pants City chant as well.
Yeah, that was epic.
So this was your standard tag team match for most of the match. And then the girls got involved and, you know, one thing led to another. We had new tag team champions.
I'm so happy the Vaudevillains won. I'm so happy.
Their kind of characters, the first thing I thought is I don't know what this does for them. Mm-hmm. I also do not care. This is epic.
It's so different.
It is.
It is.
It's like, so different. It stands out.
Oh yeah, like I'm a fan. Like I love this shtick. It works. You know, and it is extremely unique. But wow, like this the kind of thing I never would have expected to get a title run because it is just kind of this, like goofy little gimmick. But oh my god, they work it so well.
They do.
They own it. They 100% own it. And it's at this point. I mean, I think we can all agree that it was time for the titles to come off of Blake and Murphy.
Oh, yeah, because now they can go. Look, I have a feeling within the next 2 months they'll have the belts back.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because neither team, I don't think, is on the way up yet. Because I don't. I think we got till next year before they actually bring a team up again. I think with the Lucha Dragons, they've already brought up their team for a year. And the Ascension.
Ascension and Lucha Dragons, yeah.
Yeah, they've already brought up two. All right, the Ascension was in NXT this year. It's been a while. But they're back, well, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So, yeah, they hit the Rolling Dervish. For the win. Good stuff.
Very, very good stuff. And they were adorable celebrating. And coming next week, thanks to NXT, we're going to get the Evil Sparkle Fairy versus Blue Pads.
Which would be a hell of a fun match.
Alexa did not have a happy.
No, she didn't. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. We saw Finn Balor arriving. He had Adrian Neville with him. And Cesaro just rolled up too. Oh, hi, I'm here too.
I need this to be a stable. I need this to be a damn stable.
So is that your Baylor Club?
That's my Baylor Club, right there. The Secret Agent Man and the Adorable Dwarf Man. Make it happen. Book it.
And then we saw a legendary music producer, Rick Rubin, in the crowd.
Who?
Exactly. We then had the debut of Apollo Crews. I keep wanting to say Apollo Creed whenever I read his name, but it's Apollo Crews taking
different
on.
Gimmick. Completely different gimmick.
I know. Taking on the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger. I want to get Omega's thoughts on just the Perfect 10 gimmick.
It's optimistic. I give it that.
Give it that?
No, it's a decent gimmick. Like, okay, There's some heel arrogance to it, so it works, but it's Also, very visual. It's very easy for the crowd. It's very catchy to pick up on. I think it works well. Like, I'm surprised at like how much of a reaction he's getting out of it.
Yeah, it should be something simple, and he's actually getting it over.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive.
He had a 10 shaved in the back of his head.
Yeah.
He did. And then there's Apollo Crews. To me, he's a small version of Bobby Lashley.
I thought he was a big version of Shelton Benjamin.
There's that too. Yeah, I can see that a little bit. Yeah. He was impressive. I know everyone's all big into Crews. He's going to be alright, but he does things we've seen other people do, so it wasn't as special, at least to me. I don't know about you guys, but at least to me, it didn't seem as special because I see it all the time.
It is something to see someone that big move that way, because he is doing, you know, he is 200 plus pounds doing luchador stunts, but everything I've heard from people who followed him on the indies was so disappointed because apparently it's just barely a shadow of what he actually does in the ring. Like, it was, according to them, was not a good introduction for what he's capable of, which I can understand wanting to go slow and show him off a bit at a time,
mm-hmm.
you know, but for your debut, like, you need to pull out something huge. Like, you know, wow me from the get-go so I know that I have something to look forward to.
And his moonsault was impressive at the end, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It just didn't... I know the internet went crazy, so internet, don't hate me. But...
Too late.
But I just wasn't totally blown away by him.
I'm kind of okay with the little bit out of a time, because you can sort of build up maybe for that big match for him. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, well, maybe, you know, because he at least lived up to the hype when he debuted. I will give him that. He did live up to the hype with pulling some of the stuff that he did. But I'd rather him almost, like, surprise you with what he's capable of. Like, each match he pulls out something different, or each match we get a little bit more until we get the full moveset of what he's capable of, than getting it all at once. Because then it's like you get it all at once, and then it's, oh, okay, well, what else? You know? As opposed to you build to that point where it's, oh my god, he did this. Holy crap, he did that. Wow, did you see that? You know, every time he comes out there, so you get excited for him every time he comes out until eventually he does his full moveset, but you don't realize he does it. And you see him doing all the crazy stuff he does, and it's like, oh, yay, ah!
So it's a slow build to see how good he can be. So the potential's there. I just hope they capitalize on it.
Yes, I would agree with that. They should capitalize on it, but a solid debut.
Oh, it was a solid debut. There's nothing wrong with the match.
With a man who has a 10 shaved on the back of his head.
With a man who has a 10 shaved in the back of his head.
We'll say this, if you're going to have a gimmick, own it.
And that's what he's doing.
Yep.
So Apollo Crews wins his debut. Apparently it was his birthday too.
Well, hey, happy birthday.
Man, that would have sucked.
You know, losing on your debut on your birthday. Hey, I think he's like, what, 20 years old?
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Quite impressive. William Regal was then there, and he announced that on the September 2nd edition of NXT, we will start the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, with the finals being on October 7th at the next TakeOver show.
So pissed they're not doing one with Survivor Series.
I know.
So pissed.
We then have Baron Corbin taking on Samoa Joe. Joe didn't get the blowaway reaction I thought he was going to get.
He got a solid pop.
Yeah.
I just expected a bigger pop for him, but again, maybe New York seen him for a while. I don't know.
Well, he's working ROH before that, and I think they were up in that area, so they may have just seen him, or it might be just something, maybe Joe's not as over as he used to be.
It might be something that works on a small internet savvy crowd, but not so much on a large scale, because you'd think of it, he hasn't really been in NXT that long yet.
Right, and he's not an NXT guy. This is an NXT show. He's not a real NXT guy like the other big pops we got tonight.
Yeah, and he's not a former WWE talent, so he's not going to get the pop up of like a Rhino showing up.
I will say this, we did get a Joe's Gonna Kill You chant.
We did. And not to say he didn't get a pop. He got a pop. It just, me and Lindsay were sitting here when it happened. I was like, we're ready for the roof to blow off, and it didn't come off of the building.
it kind of popped a little bit, but, you know, didn't do much else.
But then they have this match. It was Corbin's best match to date.
Oh, Joe was driving this. Joe was totally driving this.
This was very submission-based, which, you know, was good for Corbin, because allowed him to, you know, not have to do a lot. And the one thing you noticed was early on when he tried to throw Joe, it's like, this is Samoa Joe. He's not one of the jobbers you throw around week by week on TV.
He's a little bit heavier than that.
A little bit heavier.
Just a bit.
But it was Corbin's best match to date. It offered Corbin a challenge. This was very physical. They brawled. They fought. There wasn't a lot of wrestling. There was some. We had the submission holds, but there wasn't a lot of, like, you know, what you would consider a classic wrestling match. This was more a brawl, which is what these two needed to do.
They needed
to fight. They didn't need to wrestle. They needed to fight.
And we've been saying for weeks that we wanted to see more out of Baron Corbin, and we got it. Here's the thing. Don't go back to the squash matches. Let him have competitive matches like this, because this way, he'll actually improve.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's only going to get better with time, and if you put him in there with people that can lead him, he's good.
Right.
I think that's part of the problem is, like, he goes out there for squash matches, so it's not competitive, and you're just like, oh, yeah, it's over in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I like that they put him in with Joe. I'd like to see the feud continue with Joe, because I think Joe brings something out of him that we haven't seen before. Brings that competitive nature out of him, which is what we need.
Well, in general, when you're working the Goldberg gimmick, you really don't have time to actually build up your game and actually see what you're supposed to be doing in the ring, which might have been like a big source of Goldberg's problems to begin with. So it's really good for him to get into the ring with someone who can command a match like that, just so he can sit under the learning tree while getting knocked around by it.
And eventually passing out.
And eventually passing out, which he did.
Eventually, yeah. But
his passing out wasn't as epic as we talked about Lesnar's earlier, but yeah. he passed out to in the clutch, and Samoa Joe picked up the win. Good stuff. It wasn't, again, at this point, it was solid wrestling and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to describe this show at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it moved, it flowed. If you're going to have Corbin lose, this is a good way to have him lose, because he still looks strong. He didn't get pinned, he didn't tap out, he passed out.
Yeah.
It's the best way to have him win short of a DQ, and a DQ would just be crap.
And the crowd would have crapped all over the DQ.
Yeah.
So it was a smart finish on their part.
Yes, it was.
Unlike the Lesnar ordeal.
Yeah. We had Flair, Sergeant Slaughter, and a Japanese woman, Kana. I think her name was, in the crowd.
Kana is a legit badass from Japan who everybody's hoping they sign.
Gotcha. But people they had signed, Tamina, Snuka, and Naomi, were also in the crowd.
Team Bad repping it for their girl, Sasha Banks.
Because you had Stephanie McMahon out there and talked about the Divas making history and how the revolution started in NXT. And she agreed with Hunter that you don't put the NXT Divas in the main event. They are the main event. It's just so funny how the differences are.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to this match.
Oh, this match.
NXT Women's Championship match. The defending champion, Sasha Banks, taking on Bayley. And like we started the show off, let's start with entrances. First, Bayley and her waving inflatable arm man. Awesome.
She had so many.
This works on a large scale. This so works on a large scale. It's like, it's so tiny in NXT, and then she goes to a big arena, and you see what it could be. You're like, I want it. I want the thing. Every week, I want that.
It's such a fun entrance.
Oh, it makes you smile.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't help but smile with Bayley. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And she was wearing the Dusty Rhodes polka dots.
Right in the feels.
Right there. Which was great. And then you have the champ. The boss, Sasha Banks, coming out in an Escalade, riding in style with security guards. That was pretty epic.
When she goes solo.
Oh, she needs to go solo.
She needs to do that every week. Maybe not roll up in an Escalade every week, but walk out with her own security detail every week. Dude, I mean, that's how you do it, man. You want to be a boss? You want to live the gimmick? That's it. I mean, it's just she rolled up and it's like, I'm done. My night is made. They haven't even done the match yet, and my night is made.
Can we give her, like, the Del Rio gimmick where she rocks up in a 6-digit car every week?
Yes. like I said, she doesn't have to do the Escalade every week. It can be a special event kind of thing, but the security detail, where she has the guys walk out with her, they hold the ropes open for her, they help her get in the ring, you know, that was just awesome.
That's the boss gimmick right there.
The boss gimmick right there, where she's the one in charge, they do what they're told, and nobody asks any questions, and man, she got out of that car, she owned that place.
Oh yeah.
Owned it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, she got out and is like, I'm done. I'm just done. This is amazing.
Oh yeah, it was completely amazing. And going back to Bayley's entrance, when she walked, when she does her thing on the side of the ring, you just saw on her face, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap. There are so many people here. Oh my God, they're chanting for me. Oh my God, holy crap. There are so many people here.
Yeah, we're so desensitized to it because we see crowds that big every week for Raw and SmackDown and pay-per-views, but it's hard to remember sometimes that this is the largest crowd that some of these NXT superstars have ever been in front of.
Oh, yeah.
Ever. So a lot of them were probably, like, Bayley were just like, holy shit. And they were loud, and they were into it, and it's just like, I would have loved to have been backstage and just felt the energy backstage. Because you know it was insane.
Someone said that during Apollo's entrance, he stopped at the entrance ramp, looked at the crowd, go, and you could actually see him like lip flap. Oh my God, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's like worse for him because like he came from the indies and this is his debut.
Yep.
Like his first big crowd and it's 15,000 people.
Good luck, kid. Have fun. Don't fall off the stage.
So this match was all kinds of epic.
Oh my God, I forget matches can get this good.
Right? And you started with the trash talk, they went right out on a brawl, they started out fighting, which is what you want, because you when you watch NXT, you've seen the rivalry build up, and not just over the last few weeks, for months, they've been feuding, and this was the big culmination of it all, and it was just amazing. You had dueling chants throughout. They were countering each other's moves. Like, one of the early spots of the match was, Sasha was going for a double knees, and Bayley's like, nope, not gonna happen. Nope, not gonna happen. Gonna fight that one off. And then she was tied up in the trio. Well, she sat up, and Bayley hit her with an elbow. It was just perfect. And then we had the double knee from the top rope, which was epic.
Yeah.
And they just continued to pick up the intensity after intensity, and then the focus turned to Bayley's hand, because that's been her weak point after when it got broke by Emma, and they just focused in on it, and they told the story, and you could see the crowd just emotionally getting behind Bayley at this point. It was great.
And the storytelling alone set this match apart so fast.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
The second she starts unwrapping it, all the way to crushing it in the ring step, it's a mean, brutal spot in a Divas match.
And they did it perfectly.
Yeah.
Perfectly. Like, just, I had forgotten that Divas matches could be this good. Because it's been so long since we've had one this good. And that's not to knock any of the other NXT matches that the women have done, because they have all been outstanding. But this one is head and shoulders above everything else.
Because unlike the other matches, this one had emotional investment.
Oh yeah, because is Bayley finally going to do it? Is Bayley finally going to get the title? Because she's gone for it in the past and she's always come up short, and especially against Sasha. It's like Sasha's her linchpin. She can never beat Sasha.
Yeah.
Ever.
That was the one thing that I loved before the match was the promo setting all of this up.
Oh, it's great.
You know, the four of them and her fading out, like the photo from Back to the Future, just her fading out of existence compared to all three who had gotten where she's trying to get, gotten
right
to the main roster, gotten championships. That's the way you do things, is this little nugget of all the time she's come up short, and it makes you feel for her immediately.
It's called, you have a character who has a backstory.
It's a kick right to the feels.
Yeah. But yeah, Omega mentioned the smashing of the hand and the steps. I was just like, ooh, perfect.
Can we talk about the reverse Frankensteiner? Because holy shit.
Not yet.
That's the end.
We're going to get there. Sasha flipping over the rope
that's
the referee.
Holy shit.
That was awesome.
She jumped the ref.
Yeah. We had the bank statement applied, and Bayley was able to counteract out of it. But before she did, when she was reaching for the rope, and Sasha would smash her hand with her foot. Oh,
that was brutal.
Go ahead. That was just that's just storytelling right there. It's like, that's what you do, because you see the girl trying to reach, and then you just step on the broken hand. It's like, ooh.
And this is the point where I was asking Rock, does Bayley have a submission hold?
Yeah, like a minute beforehand, does she have a submission hold? And then bam, there it was. She reversed the bank statement.
Oh, it was awesome. I'm sitting here screaming at the TV, tap the bitch.
She was. It really was.
I love Sasha, but it's like tap.
Right? And then Sasha was up on the top rope, and then Bayley was going, I think, for the regular Frankenstein, and she just gets thrown off, and it's like, ooh, that didn't look so good, the way she landed. But she got up, and she was all right. But it looked,
She backflipped off. It looked like she spiked her head into the mat.
Right, because usually when you see that type of move, they just fall backwards. No, she did the whole move and did the backflip and everything. Great selling on her part, though.
Oh, wonderful selling.
Yeah, I was convinced something went way wrong there. Mm-hmm. It probably did. It probably wasn't the best flip she could have done in that situation, but...
It worked.
It worked.
Then Sasha hits her double knees and the two count, and just the exhaustion of after the two counts, like, they're laying on top of each other. It's like, oh my God, what do I have to do now?
Yeah. It's that moment of desperation. Like, I've thrown everything I have and we're still doing this. What do I have left?
Right.
What can I possibly do?
So then we're on the top rope. They're fighting back and forth. And then, as Lindsay mentioned, the reverse Frankensteiner from the top rope. And then when she lands it, you see her go, yeah.
Oh, she was on fire.
Then she tightens her hair and does the Bayley to belly. And she picks up the win. It was like, yeah, I did it. She's like, I did my move. All right. I got it.
I hit the spot.
Yeah.
And it was like, we were like, Bayley, what are you doing? What are you doing, Bayley? Bayley?
Bayley, no. Bayley, no.
And then she hits the spot. It was like, awesome.
It's like, literally the day before NXT, I watched this video on YouTube where someone was going over like 10 wrestling moves you will never see in the WWE.
Uh-huh.
And like number 3 was called a poisoned Frankensteiner, which is what Bayley did. Because to sell it, your opponent has to flip over you and risks spiking their neck and spine directly into the mat.
Right.
Because it gives very little time to tuck and roll and actually protect yourself. They sold it so well.
Yeah.
That's a really hard move to make look like it hit correctly.
Yeah, and they hit it perfectly. I've heard Sasha has been a little bit banged up since that show, but guess what? It was well worth it. So your new NXT Women's Champion is Bayley.
A long time coming for Bayley.
And the crowd just popped for her. They had this massive, massive celebration. She soaked in all the cheers. And then it's like, she's standing there, and then she turns around and looks at the ramp and sees, oh crap, here's Becky and Charlotte, and she just starts to lose it.
Yeah, she starts bawling in the middle of the ring. It's so sweet.
They all hug, they celebrate with Bayley in the ring, and then Sasha gets up.
And Sasha starts crying.
Sasha starts crying. They hug, and they're all standing there in the ring together. And then they put up the four fingers. That was just, you want to talk emotional. The match, the celebration. If that didn't hit you in the heart for emotion, I don't know what will.
What heart?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that moment after the match where it's like she's finally achieved what she's been fighting for since she got there, which is the NXT Women's Championship. She's beaten Sasha Banks. She's done it in front of the largest crowd she's seen so far in her career on the biggest night for NXT so far, which, I mean, because everybody was essentially calling this NXT's WrestleMania, because that's essentially what it was for them. So she did it on the biggest night, in front of the biggest crowd, in the biggest match. And she went out there and proved she deserves to be a champion, and then to have those three walk out, or to have Becky and Charlotte walk out and embrace her and celebrate with her, and then have Sasha do it. And it's just that moment of they broke character, and there's this moment of mutual respect between the four.
Oh, yeah.
Where you see how far they've all come in their individual careers, and Becky and Charlotte and Sasha are moving on, and they're going up to the main roster. And it's a sad moment for Bayley, because Bayley's going to be on her own, but then it's like she's got the title, which means she's not going to be there much longer. They're getting ready to send her up, too. So Bayley's getting ready to go. But it's just this moment that gives you chills.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because it's one of those, when you see it, it's an iconic moment. And you know it is. Because it's something, we're going to see this clip, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the line, in all four of their careers, where this was the moment they all made it. And you knew it.
There's so much emotion going into that. Not only does Bayley finally get the win, not only does she prove she can win the big one, not only is there so much, like, the mutual respect going on, Sasha coming back in to hug her, it's also the big farewell because they're leaving for the main roster, and also this immense show of respect because they know like whole Divas Revolution, that never happened on Raw. That happened in NXT.
Yep.
And those three are leaving that in her care, which brings so much to that moment.
Yeah, and I think it's being left in capable hands.
Oh yeah, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. But she's the gatekeeper now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if anyone else is going up to that main roster and proving themselves worthy of it, they go through her.
Oh yeah.
Until she's ready to go, and then she goes up. And I have a feeling when she goes up, they'll do Bayley right. They better.
Oh, they will, because they're not going to bring her up and put her in a faction. She doesn't belong in a faction.
Yeah, by then they'll work out all this, like, three-faction thing. It'll break up, and it'll actually look like a division again.
Everyone's going to get their character, and they'll all be fine. And yeah, anyway, that's a whole nother rant for another day that we don't have time for tonight.
Yeah.
NXT.
Oh, stay tuned, Sunday night.
There you go, Sunday night. You know, we'll talk more about it. 10 p.m. Eastern. Triple H announces that the NXT will be debuting in the UK. They're going on tour from the 10th to the 16th, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All my UK friends are so hyped for that.
I'm so jealous because they won't come here.
And they're running the same buildings that WWE usually runs.
Oh, they'll sell them out.
Or they'll do pretty damn close to selling them out. Yeah.
No, they'll sell NXT out, because NXT is bigger, I think, overseas than it is here. They have a presence over there.
That's saying something.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Because they're actually, I think, on TV over there versus here. They're just on the network.
Right. You mentioned something about WrestleMania and how this had a WrestleMania feel, and it did. This whole show had a WrestleMania feel, because when you compare it, we compare it to SummerSlam, which we talked about earlier tonight, the entrances didn't compare.
Oh, my God.
SummerSlam didn't have any epic entrances. Well, multiple times throughout this night on NXT, we had epic entrances from Tyler Breeze to Bayley and Sasha, and then our main event, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor for the NXT title in a ladder match. Kevin Owens is simple and to the point, which is what he is, and then there's the Demon, Finn Balor, and small scale, large scale, another one works.
I need Balor's entrance at Mania. I need it now. Now. I need it now. Like, that was just... It's like, yep, it's gonna work, yep.
We had multiple Balors.
We had multi... He's a multi-demon.
He's a multi-demon.
Well, any good demon has arch-demons hanging around him.
He has minions.
He has Gru.
You know, Taker had minions, Taker had druids, Taker's leaving, so, you know, somebody has to inherit the druids. So, you know, Finn's picking them up, he's turning them into little demons.
Someone has to give the druids work.
Somebody has to give them work. We're in a recession, for God's sakes.
You know, it's hard to find work as an evil minion.
Especially these days, my God.
Yeah,
Trump's
market's
got all the ones he needs.
Yeah, the market's flooded. It's little yellow guys in blue overalls are taking all the jobs.
Damn it.
Bastards. So we get into this main event. Oh, man. Like, I felt bad for this match a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to follow the women's match.
Like, coming off that emotional high, I was like, oh, right, there's the main event. Oh, thank you, Kevin and Finn, for sort of bringing us back. It's like, ooh, because the emotion just drained you for a while. But they had a good match.
There was part of me that was like, okay, I'm watching a Finn Balor entrance, and like, I don't have the energy I normally do. Bayley drained it out of me.
Yeah, she really, really did.
Honestly, my overs were like, I can't do this right now.
We had Ole chance in this match, and Kevin Owens just ate him up. And these two men were pretty physical with one another. You can really tell, and you can tell Finn Balor's not used to ladders, because even, you know, doing regular moves, he would be falling on a ladder any way he could. And just like, oh, Finn, poor Finn, falling on ladders. You poor, poor man. But they did a great job. They told a good story. And overall, it was a good main event.
Finn Balor is so awkward around ladders. It's adorable. He just doesn't know what he's... It's very clear. Balor had never done a ladder match. Owens was trying to drive. Balor was all over the place.
Yeah.
And they just... Balor's like, hey, there's a ladder. I'm going to jump on it. Squash.
And the one memorable spot of this match is like Finn's climbing up. He sees the belt, but then he sees his rival Owens on the ground. It's like, belt, Owens, belt, Owens. What am I going to do? Oh yeah, I know what I need to do. I can get back to the belt. I'm going to jump down and double stomp Kevin Owens.
Just why the hell not?
Yeah, it's one of those Kurt Angle. It's more, it's an Eddie Guerrero moment where he just, you expect him to look at the camera and go, oh well.
It's the Eddie Guerrero, Shawn Michaels, like, oh, all right,
gotta do it.
Gotta do it, you know, whatever, what the heck, I'm gonna do it. He did it.
Actually, yeah. Actually, my more favorite spot was when he kicked the ladder up into his own face.
Yeah, that was awkward.
Sick. Who let you do this? Who decided this was a good idea?
Right.
But no, the double stomp off the top of the ladder. It's like, no. Finn, no. No.
Yeah, and the one time Kevin Owens got backdrop on the ladder, we went, ooh, ooh, that one stung a little bit.
Kevin took a lot of bad bumps to his back in this match.
No wonder he has a history of back problems.
Right? I actually feel bad for him because it's like he had to wrestle SummerSlam, then he had to do it Monday night, and he had to do it Tuesday night, too.
He did 5 straight days.
Oh, my God.
That poor man. That poor, poor man. I'm sure he probably wants to go home, and he's like, I just need to soak in, like, a hot bath for 6 days.
I need a nap.
And a cookie.
Yeah, cookie. But yeah, Finn Balor retains the NXT Championship. This show, from top to bottom, again, solid, entertaining, and then emotional.
The Divas stole the show.
Oh, yeah.
They stole the weekend.
Match of the night, match of the year candidate.
Oh, match of the weekend.
Easily match of the weekend. Easily could be match of the year.
Oh, I would vote for it for match of the year. It was just... And I like how tonight on NXT they acknowledged that the Divas stole the show.
Oh, yeah.
They acknowledged that on the show, which was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody went out there. Everybody gave 110%. Nobody phoned it in, which was so refreshing, where it's like, everybody's like, this is huge. This is the biggest thing we've ever done. And I think they realized that, how special this was, because that's all they talked about was, this is an amazing opportunity, and this is a great experience, and holy crap, this is the biggest crowd we've ever seen. And this was all new to them, and so it meant something to every single one of them that were on that show. And you can tell it did.
Oh, yeah.
You can absolutely tell that this show mattered. Because the thing is they don't have to do takeover events for NXT. They don't have to do any of this for NXT.
No, they were a developmental brand, and they still are in some aspects. Even though Hunter calls them a third brand, they're still a developmental brand at heart.
Oh, they're still developmental because they're all in various stages of learning. The folks that you're seeing on television right now, with the exception of Eva Marie and Apollo Crew, are you know, basically the rookies in the NXT program, and they're learning. Crew is far more ahead of Eva Marie.
Which we're going to get to in a minute.
Yeah. But you're seeing people in various stages of development, some beginning and some on their way up to the main roster. So you see how they start and how they finish out and see how the program actually works through NXT, which is pretty cool. But the fact that they have taken a developmental brand and they've turned it into a viable, profitable venture is insane.
Oh, yeah. Well, going back to the Kevin Owens match really quick, the one other spot was, so he has Finn knocked up by the side of the ring with the ladder locking him in place, and he's like, I'm going to run, I'm going to run. Nope.
Oh, yeah, that was a great spot.
Just going to hit you.
This is an awesome spot.
God, he trolls so hard and so good.
He's the perfect heel.
He is.
Owens is just spot on, the perfect heel. He knows how to read a crowd. He knows how to work a crowd perfectly.
Yeah.
He's amazing. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Overall, this show was awesome. I don't know. It's hard to put into words how awesome the show was. Just saying awesome just seems not enough, you know?
This show is about as perfect as a wrestling show gets.
Yeah.
It had a really good flow. It had a really good build up. You know, you're nothing too distracting from the actual wrestling matches in the way of promos and vignettes. Everything was well deserved. And just those two final matches, just absolutely amazing performances.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they said co-main events. They didn't lie. Those were two co-main events. I felt bad for Finn and Kevin because they had to follow the women's match. But in thinking about it, both of those matches would have suffered from each other because whoever was going first, there was potentially no way that the other one was going to top it.
No.
There was just no way.
No.
So it's like if Finn and Kevin had gone first, then Bayley and Sasha would have suffered. It still would have been a fantastic match all the way through. It still would have had all the emotion. And to close TakeOver with Bayley holding the title high would have been super awesome, but they placed it where it needed to go, which is before Kevin Owens and Balor. And Kevin Owens and Balor delivered a fantastic match.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing job by them. Not a single complaint other than please don't ever let Finn Balor near a ladder again.
Right, but yeah.
But the match suffered because of the emotional moment with Bayley.
Yeah, it was. But again, you couldn't have placed any other way, because then if you think about it, if you put the girls on last, they would have been 4 hours into the show at this point, and you have to worry about the crowd at this point, so they put them on like almost 3 hours in. Yeah, it was just right timing, right place, perfect.
It was great. I mean, I can't complain about the show. I don't have really any complaints about it. This was, again, if this is what Hunter's vision of what WWE can be, Vince, we love you. You've had a great run, but please step down and let Hunter take over. Please.
Yeah.
We used to say he was ruining the business. Hunter, do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Take the business. Do what you want.
Yeah.
Do it.
By the way, you are listening to The Rack live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, because we're going long tonight. Long. So just be warned.
Sorry.
We still have more to get to. Just bear with us. This is the show. We are still live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because we got to talk about Wednesday night's NXT as well.
The 90-minute special from Barclays.
It was...
Because, you know, TakeOver was not enough.
Oh, no. TakeOver was enough. And we talked about all the amazing, amazing reactions during the live show. They didn't even compare to what started this show off when Enzo and Kaz showed up.
Jesus Christ, is there a roof left?
No. No.
Well, that's why the roof didn't blow off during Joe. It was gone.
Yeah, it was already gone. I mean, they walked out and it was deafening. It was absolutely deafening, the pop they got. Like, they walk out in front of their hometown crowd and it's like, done.
And they were chanting along with every single word they said.
Oh, they were hanging off of everything they said. Like, Enzo had them in the palm of his hand and you can actually see it on Cass's face. Where he's like, holy crap.
Because
they're chanting with them and, you know, Cass is just like, this is amazing. This is awesome. Like you watch his face as Enzo's running around like a crazy, you know, little whatever. And Cass is just standing there kind of starstruck. Yeah. Almost like a deer in headlights.
But, mm-hmm. By the way, we gotta talk about Enzo. What is up with his hair?
It's Enzo. It's Enzo. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. I just had to bring up his hair. It was different.
It's Enzo. That's the excuse.
It was something.
It was something. All right.
God, he's got 90s white rapper lightning bolts in it.
At least it's not a 10.
It's not a 10. He thinks he's the Flash. That's all.
That's all.
Well, we had Green Arrow at SummerSlam, so.
Yeah.
No, that's another entrance where I'm like so worried that it doesn't work in a big crowd because it's such a long spiel they go on.
I compare them to the New Age Outlaws.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
It works. You just gotta get everyone on board. If everyone's on board, it works. If you go to a building and it's quiet, you're kinda screwed.
The good thing for them is word of mouth is going to spread about them. Mm-hmm. And because of the network, people are going to be exposed to that entrance. So they're going to know that they do the spiel before they do the match. So it's like people will be prepared to do the spiel with him. And as the people that know to do it, the people that don't know to do it will do it.
Right.
And it will eventually get itself over and eventually they won't have that problem after they debut. But God, that was amazing when they're like doing the SAWFT soft.
Yeah.
It's like Full Sail, love you,
but
it's been real.
You're on notice.
You're
on notice.
You gotta step up your game, Full Sail. No more sitting on your hands. You gotta step up your game.
It's like, I want NXT from the road now. I've been spoiled. I can't go back to Full Sail. I just can't do it.
So we had this 8-man tag team match. Big Cass, Enzo, and the Hype Bros taking on Gable, Jordan, Dash, and Dawson. Crowd wanted Enzo in the match. They eventually got him, and then Enzo got beat on for a long, long time after he was thrown onto the entire heel team at one point.
Yep.
He got the hat tag to Cass. He ran wild. And Team Enzo wins. Yay. Fun stuff.
Awesome.
And somewhere Zack Ryder's still celebrating.
Yep.
Him and Mojo's just running around somewhere.
They went to Jersey.
Well, Mojo's running around because it's Mojo. Zach's running around because he got a win.
For once. We then heard from William Regal.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're enjoying the show. I'd just like to remind you that next week on the 2nd of September, exclusively here on NXT, we'll be having the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Now, this will be a tag team tournament like you've never seen before.
Excuse me, Mr. Regal.
Hello. How are you?
No, I'm sorry, sir. I do not mean to interrupt you, and I know you're a very busy man. I do not want to waste your time. But if there's a spot still available in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, I would absolutely love to compete. You see, it would be an honor, and it would be a privilege for me to represent Dusty, a man who has paved my career here in the WWE.
That would mean a lot to you, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
And for all you've done for NXT, I can make that happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Regal.
Right, take care.
Thank you.
So Neville wants to be in the Dusty Rhodes tournament. Interesting.
I'm in.
Wonder who you team Neville up with.
I don't care. I'm in.
I like that they're bringing Neville back for it.
I like that they're bringing a lot of people back for it, which we'll get into. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not trying to just... Like, they're putting people together that aren't necessarily a tag team, but they're bringing back previous NXT tag teams that, you know, are now up on the main roster, which, again, we'll get into. So I wonder if a certain bearded gentleman will show up. With his new friend.
Who are you alluding to?
You know,
it's so subtle, I'm not picking up.
You know, some bearded men who say, "We're here."
Oh, Daniel Bryan's still hurt.
Yes,
the
yes,
big, the big 385-pound brick outhouse that walked out on Monday Night Raw and squeezed the life out of Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns and his friends. And that dude.
Yeah, that dude. We then had to have hype videos for Emma and Becky Lynch. We also heard from Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Charlotte, Becky Lynch, two-thirds of PCB, but tonight you'll be competing in a fatal four-way against Emma and Dana Brooke.
Well, Devin, ever since Dana Brooke showed up at NXT, she's been on a mission to prove that she's the most dominant female. While on this mission, she found a little evil friend in Emma, who's basically her lap dog.
And normally I like dogs, but maybe not Australian Shepherds. They're a little bit rough. Rough, hey?
My thoughts are simple, Devin. While Dana and Emma want to prove that they're the best, the only item on my agenda is the same tonight.
Same here. So let's do this, Charlotte. Let the best team PCB member win.
PCB. Woo!
Becky likes her puns.
I love Becky and her puns.
If you don't follow Becky Lynch on Twitter, you should, because she makes a lot of puns. Not as many as she used to when she wasn't on Raw. Because when she wasn't on Raw, she'd be making a lot of puns about Raw. And it was
she
epic.
Would live tweet puns. It was awesome.
She's pretty epic. We then had Eva Marie taking on Carmella. Carmella was over with the crowd, which you would expect.
She's the princess of Staten Island. Of course she is.
She even pulled out a moonwalk.
Yep.
And then there's Eva Marie.
I really don't like the robe. I really don't like the robe.
The black ear, though, worked better for her.
Yeah, I like the black ear.
Mm-hmm.
Plays off the red hair. You know, Tim's favorite color is black and red. Works perfectly.
Yeah, black and red.
Well, they are his. There are only three colors he knows, black, red, and white.
Yep.
It's a true fact. The time I wanted to put blue on the website, he had a conniption fit. True story.
He did. He did, I remember that.
Tell him you'll make it pink and black, he'll love it.
He'll love it. Anyway, one thing we need to say about Eva Marie, pull harder.
She still needs a lot of work. Obviously the training with Kendrick is showing, but she still needs a lot of work. And yeah, you're gonna put somebody in a submission hold like that, pull harder. Don't just wrap her arm up and then stand there and make mean faces. Like actually make it look like you're hurting her.
She lacks confidence. Not only in herself, but faith in who she's wrestling in to work with her correctly.
Like, yeah.
That just comes from how few matches she has had and how little experience she's had so far.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to continue. It's something that only comes with time and time in the ring. It's just unfortunate that it's in front of a crowd where a lot of this learning is still taking place.
Oh, and one other thing, Eva, don't ever scream again. No, her voice went from deep to really high pitched and back down to very deep. Don't scream.
I still feel like she could benefit from being put in with somebody that can lead her.
Yeah.
And that might be where bringing some of the main roster divas down to work with her may help. Emma would be good for her. She really needs someone that can lead her through a match. Like, Carmella did better. She had a little bit better showing with Carmella than she did last time she showed up.
Right.
But I really feel like because she's just not, you know, as Omega said, she doesn't have the confidence, but she needs to be in there with someone that can instill that in her.
Right. Now, I have to play a game with Omega. Omega, describe to me what a Bronco Buster is.
See, a Bronco Buster is an exclusive to my Thursday night streams. Okay, Bronco Buster is opponent seated in a corner, mm-hmm. where you then charge your opponent, leap in between the lower and middle ropes in order to basically dry hump them to death.
Okay. What's a Luthes press?
A Luthes press would be when an opponent is running at you, jumping up to catch them with your legs and force them down to the ground in a situation that lets you punch them in the head.
Okay, so you just described a Luthes press. Mm-hmm. Tonight on the show, or I should say last night, Rich Brennan called the Luthes press a Bronco Buster. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then she did a second Luthes press, and Corey Graves had to basically say, no, that's a Luthes press.
Wow. I can see where you could make the mistake. After all, they both involve legs.
They do involve legs and running.
And running, yes, this is important. Wow. If Luthes ever broke out a Bronco Buster.
Like we say, this is developmental, even for announcers.
Even for announcers.
They're still learning.
Yes. Eva won with the Kendrick, by the way. She's doing that pretty well. A little slow, but she pulls it off.
They need to learn how to shoot it so they don't show her walking up the turnbuckle, because you can really see how the person is supporting her.
Yeah.
So she can walk up it. It's like they do a much better job shooting it from the side, but as she learns to do it quicker, that won't be an issue, but because she's still doing it kind of slow, because she's just not sure about it, it doesn't look right.
Yeah. We then hear from Tyler Rees as he sends a message to Mr. Liger.
Jushin Thunder Liger. You might have been victorious at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, but are you really the winner? I mean, I get to walk around looking like this. And you still have to wear a mask everywhere that you go. But don't think that we're even close to being done. But in the meantime, I think I've got a bigger, better idea to bring to Mr. Regal. This one will really put me on the map. Prince Pretty, out.
Interesting. Tyler Breeze being Tyler Breeze.
Prince Pretty.
And then we heard from Dana Brooke and Emma talking about the upcoming match later on tonight.
Don't they know that, like, playtime is over? I mean, they want to come back.
They gotta find out the hard way.
Obviously.
Excuse me, ladies. Earlier, Charlotte and Becky Lynch stated that tonight's Fatal 4-Way match is all about proving who's the best.
I mean, what do you think? I couldn't agree more. Fortunately, they have two of the best competing in this match.
Yeah.
Agreed. And tonight, Charlotte's going to find out that looking dominant and being dominant are two different things. And Becky Lynch, well, she's about to become the biggest joke of WWE. Did you get all that, sweetie?
What did she do to her hair?
I'm not sure, honestly.
Is she trying to pull her best Taryn Terrell from the dollhouse or what?
Her hair, her makeup, her outfit just wasn't any good. As we talked about the feels with Bayley, they showed the promo that they did on YouTube where it just kicked you right in the feels.
Bayley, congratulations on becoming the NXT Women's Champion. Put this in perspective for us.
It's
Like, I dreamt about it forever, but it doesn't compare to what I, like, the moment out there when I actually won, and I just can't wrap my head around it. Like, as long as I've dreamt about it, I've never been ready for it, the feeling.
What it mean to have the other four horsewomen, including your opponent tonight, Sasha, come out to the ring at the end of the match?
Dude, that was probably, like, the most important thing to me. The match was amazing, and it was, but that right there is what we're, like, what we're all fighting for, is to show everybody that what we stand for and that we're all supporting each other, and it's just, I don't know. I just don't want them to leave me, like, they're up there now, and now I'm just... I just want them around all the time. It is amazing.
And also, you were in front of your family and friends here tonight.
Oh, my God.
Including your mother.
And my sweetheart. Oh, my God. Here's your shirt. I love the shirt.
Mom, what do you think of your daughter's performance tonight?
I think she did an amazing job out there today. She does an amazing job each and every time she gets out in that ring.
Oh, my God.
Tonight was especially important to her.
Ah!
And all of us, in case you can't tell. And we're just so proud of her. I'm so glad. I want Bailey to be happy, and she is so happy right now. I can tell, and that's the most important thing in the world to me, is to see her happy.
Okay, too much talking, Mom.
Never.
She's too proud.
Well, congratulations again, and enjoy this time and enjoy this night with your family.
Thanks, certainly will.
Get it! Get it!
Yay, Bailey! Love you, sweetheart.
Like, bringing her parents into that. Oh, her mother was so proud though.
Oh yeah.
I'm not crying. You're crying. I have something in my eye.
We then hear more from William Regal.
I'm standing by with Mr. Regal. Mr. Regal, you have some exciting news regarding next week's Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic.
I certainly do, Devin, yes. As we know, the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, it's upon us. And I've got some incredible news about the opening match of the tournament.
Mr. Regal. We both know I don't play well with others, but I want in this tournament, and I expect to win this tournament.
You know, it's funny you should mention about not playing well with others, because I know somebody else who doesn't play well with others, and they contacted me about being in this tournament as well. So, why don't I put you and that person, which is an old friend of yours, Rhino, together as a team. And so next week, you will be competing in the opening match. And your opponents will be the most dominant tag team in NXT history, the Ascension.
That's cool with me.
So Baron Corbin shows up, and he wants in the tournament, and he's being paired off with someone. And as Lindsay mentioned, someone's Rhino. And then Lindsay mentioned, other teams are returning, and the most dominant team in NXT history is returning, the Ascension.
Yay.
Now, let's not all get excited for the return of the Ascension to NXT. Come on now.
Well, they have to be dominant somewhere.
Which is really weird. So, think about this. You have the Ascension, who made their career in NXT by squashing people, against Baron Corbin, who has made his career in NXT by squashing people. Just poor Rhino. I feel bad for Rhino.
Maybe this will be a good thing?
Maybe. Maybe.
Possibly?
You never know.
You never know.
Yeah, we've had established stars come back to NXT or just go there in the first place to kind of rejuvenate themselves. Yeah. And we saw with Tyson Kidd, Zack Ryder is down there now.
Yeah.
The thing is he'll be in there with someone experienced, which again, Baron is another one of those people that he needs someone to kind of walk him through and lead him through, because when he has that experienced hand with him, he's much better than when there's somebody who they don't really know what to do, they're kind of confused, and it's not, you know, they don't do nearly as well. So to have him with Rhino, they'll probably put them in there with a fairly experienced tag team. They'll be fine.
Yeah. We then had the Drifter, Elias Sampson. Yes, comes out with a guitar and everything.
God, for a second I thought it was hipster Jeff Jarrett.
Really was. And taking on the return of Bull Dempsey, Bullfit himself.
He got himself in shape.
Somewhat.
A shape.
Round. Round is a shape.
Round is a shape.
The fans were chanting Bullfit. Buffet.
I do like how the announcers were saying he was working on his ab.
Yeah.
Just the one.
Hey, all he needs is one.
So
maybe he can shave his chest hair just right?
Yeah, just shave it down the center and you're perfect. You show off your ab. Triple H tip. Samson controlled. Bull made his comeback. Wind up headbutt. Splash corner. Then he did the doink, you know, whoopee cushion from the top rope. Your winner, Bull Dempsey. Woohoo! He was Bullfit. Yeah, he did. We then heard from Samoa Joe.
Joe, before we get to your win over Baron Corbin tonight, talk to us a little bit about this ruckus NXT crowd.
This ruckus, this riot, this explosion of energy that's going on out there. You know what that is? That's the culmination of this, of NXT, of what the fans built. And out there in Brooklyn tonight, those fans were behind me, and they got me through one of the toughest tests I've ever had in my life.
And speaking of that test, Baron Corbin, victory over him tonight. What kind of message does this victory send to the rest of the NXT locker room?
What kind of message does it send? It's a very simple message. Samoa Joe is here in NXT, and he means absolute business. This isn't a game to me. I came here to make statements, but my statements aren't made with my mouth. They're made with my fists. And tonight I went out there and I beat up one of the biggest and the baddest animals they have in this locker room. And I will continue to beat up the biggest and the baddest in this locker room until I get what I want. And that's a championship.
Joe's gonna kill somebody.
Run, just run. Whoever it is, I don't care. Run.
And then earlier on you mentioned that Alexa Bliss was mad. Well, listen to this.
Really? Blake, Murphy, really? I was hoping to get some comments regarding your NXT Tag Team title loss.
Lost?
The Vaudeville
we were lost.
At TakeOver Brooklyn.
We were robbed, Devin.
Why was she robbed?
Let me guess. You're here to ask them how they feel. How do you think they feel, Devin? Actually, don't answer that because I don't care. What I care about is Blue Pants. I mean, who does she think she is sticking her nose into our business and causing my boys to lose the tag titles? I mean, is she even on this roster? She needs to know that she is not welcomed here. So next week, I'm going to send Blue Pants back to that clearance rack where she belongs. Come on, boys.
Blue Pants and Alexa Bliss next week. I can't wait.
This is going to be good. Alexa's pissed.
Yeah, the evil Sparkle Fairy is pissed off.
She's on a rampage.
You don't mess with that.
Nope.
This brought us to our main event, a four-way. Dana Brooke, Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Emma. Yeah, let's go Charlotte, let's go Becky Chance. They wrestled a lot. Emma and Dana worked over Charlotte, then they worked over Becky. And then Emma and Dana had a shoving match, and their partnership sort of broke up at this point. Charlotte ran well, hit a double DDT on Emma and Dana. Becky dropped kicks off the top rope, hit on Charlotte. Then she ran wild for a while. She had a nice fisherman's suplex. Then things got interesting. this finish. Ooh.
Somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do.
I think that move she does in the corner is the Emma sandwich. The Emma White sandwich.
Formerly known, it's not much of a heel name for the move, but.
Okay, whatever. It describes the move. The crossbody in the corner. She hits it.
The Bronco Buster.
The Bronco Buster, Rich Brennan, and covers her. 1, 2, 3? What? Like, her reaction when she went, what? I won? Oh, I won. All right. Yay. I win. Oh. Yeah, that wasn't supposed to happen. It was awkward. So, what we figured out while watching it was, Dana Brooke was supposed to break that up, playing off the dissension they had earlier in the match. She was supposed to break it up because she had Charlotte down on the mat, and the referee's told to count the pin legit whenever it happened. And, well, you know, that wasn't supposed to be a thing. I think Charlotte was supposed to go over, because afterwards she hit the spear in natural selection, and she did her own pin for the finish. So it's that was, special.
I'm still trying to figure out if the beatdown after the match, not the natural selection and all that, but the actual beatdown after the match, if that was planned or if that was them being like, dude, you screwed up.
Now we gotta make this right.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of called an audible.
It kind of felt to me like this was what was supposed to have gone down. Just, okay, we have to improvise something so we can get back to that point.
Yeah, it was supposed to end with the figure eight and disarm her, and yeah. So Emma won the match that she probably wasn't supposed to win.
And everybody had a mad.
But at least it isn't as bad as the one time that Caitlyn won a battle royal she wasn't supposed to win on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
This is true. Because somebody, again, was not in the right spot at the right time.
Yeah. So, overall, good, good 3.5 hours from Brooklyn.
I like that most of the roster got exposed to the crowd.
Yeah.
That they all got to perform in front of the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Which is nice. Mm-hmm. I loved Takeover. I thought Takeover was an excellent show. I thought this was a good show, aside from the botch at the end. And I think NXT went up there, and they owned it.
Oh, they did.
But what did you think, Omega?
I thought it was a good show. Like, just for the NXT portion itself. Like, part of me is still annoyed. Like, I really want to see Emma come back to Full Sail. Now I have to wait another week. I want to see the return. I want to see the conquering hero return home. And it's like, oh no, wait. We've got a filler episode so they can get back to Florida.
You mean Bailey? You mean?
Yeah, sorry, Bailey.
Yeah. Well, Emma did have a big win, so she is coming home with victory.
No.
I think we have there's 2 weeks in the can before we get back to Full Sail.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how those all play out, because they obviously filmed some dummy episodes to cover for what the finishes were going to be.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. But as always, we'll keep you up to date right here on The Rack every single Thursday night. But I'm looking at my watch. She's yawning. Means we gotta go. Because we've gone long.
We've gone really long. We've kept everybody really late. So you know what? I think we're done. So anybody else agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess this is where I plug now.
Yeah, plug your stuff.
All right, let's do all these plugs. Check out The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 4 Episode 8, now available at rackradioshow.com.
And don't test your boyfriend.
If you learned anything, that's what you learned. Go listen.
Don't ever listen to Rosa Mendez's advice. Ever.
Listen to The Rack Extra, though. Total Divas Season 4 Episode 8, and you'll learn all about it at Rack Radio Show and wildtalkradio.com. Saturday Midnight Dish is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, and hopefully, crossing fingers, one, we'll have all three co-hosts. Number two, my power will stay on and we can do a full show.
You're just taking all the fun out of it.
These are goals for Saturday night. Just saying, as we're on the road to 400 episodes in a couple weeks, we're going to get all the kinks worked out by 400, hopefully. Follow our show on Twitter at CBRadioWTR, Facebook.com/CigaretteWithTheMadness, hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies, CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, Omega, along with Tim and Mace, will be doing Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow that show on Twitter at WTR Sunday night, Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night's Raw post show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw. And right back here next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern, which you can follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Rack Radio Show. Check out our website, rackradioshow.com. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Get the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. Get The Rack on iTunes at Stitcher Rack Radio Show. Lindsay.
Damn, we have a lot of plugs. Omega, would you have anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, I do have all my usual stuff, I guess. Since your crowd is maybe not be familiar, I do a lot of stuff over on YouTube.
You
which
do?
Is all located at TJ Omega.
Wow.
Anything that I have to say, I usually post on Twitter, TJ Omega. If you like Facebook to keep updated, I post on TJ Reviews. And then there's TJOmega.org, which is currently useless because all the exclusive videos need a new video site to host on.
Yay!
Hey, it's a lot of embedded stuff to redo.
All right!
Woohoo!
So fun.
I know the trouble. I feel
you. You feel
pain.
Your pain.
God. I feel bad because I have friends who have like 900 videos they have to relocate.
Oh, God. That's awful.
Fun times had by all, but Lindsay, plug some stuff.
All right, well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LANSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com, if you like my artwork. If you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter. Please don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.net, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Omega and Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward, and you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!